Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be, across all these many prolific time zones. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, eastward across flyover country, all of us, to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, soon Puerto Rico, south into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the old internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good morning. You've got quite a treat coming up. James Von Prague, the long sought after James Von Prague, is going to be my guest. And there was, however, an incident that occurred last night during the program, and after this commercial break, I am going to do a replay of that incident for you. And for those of you who did not hear the last hour of the program, we brought our engineer on at the network who explained that GE Americom, that is the satellite, the big one in the sky, that carries this program, that GE Americom had said that satellite GE-1, the one we use on KU-band, actually lost Earth track. Absolutely unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. Lost Earth track. In other words, did not know where it is and began to move or tumble or, you know, in some way move out of its proper orbit. And it happened at a very, very strange moment indeed. I, in all my years of broadcasting, have never heard of such a thing. And GE Americom affirms that they, too, have never had such a thing occur. Other networks went down as well. Talk America Radio Network was down for a great deal longer than we were. But the timing of what occurred with regard to the content, Area 51, and the particular call is just simply beyond belief. So if you didn't hear the last hour, that is the explanation that was given to us by GE Americom, that the satellite actually lost what they call Earth track. And I went into the other room and looked at my transmitter, and it looked dead. And it looked dead under normal circumstances. You would not imagine the problem to be the satellite in space. You would imagine the problem to be the transmitter. And to all appearances, the transmitter was dead as a doornail. But it wasn't the transmitter. It was the fact that the transmitter didn't have a satellite to talk to. It was one of the more incredible nights in radio history. As a matter of fact, James Von Prague's on the line. He'll get to hear it coming up in a moment.
Now we take you back to the night of September 12th, 1997, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
On my Area 51 line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Hi. I don't have a whole lot of time.
Well, look, let's begin by finding out whether you're using this line properly or not.
Area 51.
Yeah, that's right. Were you an employee or are you now?
A former employee.
Former employee.
I was let go on a medical discharge about a week ago, and I've kind of been running across the country. I don't know where to start. They're going to... they'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
So you can't spend a lot of time on the phone. So give us something quick.
Okay. Okay. What we're thinking of as aliens are they're extra dimensional beings that an earlier precursor of the space program made contact with. They are not what they claim to be. They have infiltrated a lot of aspects of the military establishment, particularly the Area 51. The disasters that are coming, the government knows about them, and there's a lot of safe areas in this world that they could begin moving the population to now, Art.
But they're not doing anything.
They are not. They want the major population centers wiped out so that the few that are left will be more easily controllable.
Discharged.
I started getting...
Weird, weird stuff. In all my life, I went in the other room and I looked at the uplink transmitter and it was like it was dead as a doornail. I mean, everything was, there was no sync light, there was no anything. It lost everything. My transmitter lost everything. And the network, using the same satellite to transfer it to New Jersey, did not lose it. But it wasn't because of anything that happened here. It was because the satellite itself, they say, lost the link to Earth, didn't know where Earth was anymore, or at least a portion of it, and took about a quarter of the totality of the channels, 250, off the air. Now, is that weird or what? That's it. That's what happened last night, and I can only assure you that GE and Maricom told us exactly as I just reported to you, that the satellite lost Earth track. Totally unheard of, totally weird, and that it should occur during a call of that sort. Beyond all reason. I believe in coincidences, but it's beginning to get a little brutal out there, I would say. Listen, one item before we bring on James von Prague. And that is Hurricane Linda. Now, you know, I've talked to you about weather changes, right? There is a massive Category 5 hurricane, and when I say massive, I mean really massive. They were reporting 180 to 90 mile per hour sustained winds. They're reporting over 200 mile per hour gusts. Well, here, let me read you a fax, one of zillions. Art, here's an El Nino quickening update. ABC News reported tonight that the strongest Pacific hurricane on record has formed off the tip of Baja with sustained winds in excess of 185, actually 200 miles an hour. The storm is moving north, northwest, parallel with the coast. They claim it may weaken somewhat. If it stays on its present course, it could easily move east and slam into Southern California, anywhere between San Diego and Los Angeles. If this happens, it will be the first hurricane or tropical storm to hit California since 1939. Now, I've got to tell you this. They are depending on this storm getting weaker as it moves north. And, of course, the waters north would normally be quite a bit cooler. What they may not be calculating is the 10 to 12 degree hike in the water, which would be fully capable of sustaining this storm, if not at present levels, at very, very serious levels. And so everybody in Southern California, I would say, be prepared, is what I would say. Be prepared. The prevailing weather patterns, once it gets up that far, are west to east, and it might move that storm right into California. These, ladies and gentlemen, are strange times we live in. James von Prague, I am told by Daniel Brinkley, who continues to get better, is the real McCoy. I know that Daniel Brinkley is the real McCoy, and so I trust his word. Regarding James von Prague, he has received, James has, over 10,000 letters after appearances on NBC's The Other Side. He's been featured on Unsolved Mysteries, Strange Universe, Paranormal Borderline, and countless others. His book his upcoming is titled Talking to Heaven. And we will talk with James von Prague about that beginning right now. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art, very much.
Was that a weird occurrence or what?
That was pretty freaky. That was very strange. Very strange. Even for me, that was strange.
I spoke last night with Danyon, and as I said, Danyon said in the whole country there may be two or three people who are real, and James von Prague is one of them.
Oh, God bless him.
You know Danyon?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very nice man.
James, tell me about yourself. You're a psychic.
Well, basically, I'd call myself a medium more than a psychic.
More than a psychic.
Right. Everyone is psychic to some degree or another, but what I do is I tune into a higher frequency than most. And I'm in between the spirit world and the physical world.
All right. In the case of most people who have your sort of talent, James, there's either they had it from birth or, like Danyon, they acquired it through some incredible occurrence like lightning striking them or whatever. When did you become aware of what you have?
Well, it's very interesting because I believe I was born with this ability. And it didn't surface until my 20s, which is about 12, 14 years ago. I was always interested in psychic phenomena, life after death, always. I mean, ever since I can remember. And I always would see things as a child, images, which I thought everyone did see, you know, the classic story there. Mm. And when I was in my early 20s, someone brought me to a medium, and I didn't know what a medium was. And she said, he talks to the dead. And I said, oh, I don't believe that. It's hocus pocus.
How old were you?
I was about 22 years old then.
22. And the medium said, he talks to the dead, meaning you.
Yeah. The medium said, mediums talk to the dead. And I went to this meeting with this man and several other people. And he looked at me and he said, you're going to do what I'm doing in 2 years. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I have enough trouble with the living. Well, I want to talk to the dead. And he said, you're going to. And I said, oh, sure, sure. And I did not believe it. I'm very skeptical of these things. But I was always, you know, I was very fascinated by what he said. And I started reading up on the subject and researching it. Every book I could find. And about 2 years later, almost to the day, I started hearing thoughts in my head. And I was talking to a woman on the phone once, and I said, who's this lady named Anna Marie? And she lives in Idaho, and I see a white house, yellow shutters. And she said, that's my grandmother. That was her name. And I said, she showed me a rose-petaled footstool. And she said she made that, and she insisted whenever she sat down that it was at her feet. And I was exhilarated. It was wonderful. And it started from there. And I've been working ever since. And I never wanted to do this sort of thing. It was kind of like I fell into it. But I think it was just waiting to happen.
A gift, a curse, or both?
Pardon me?
A gift, a curse, or both?
Both. You bet. Both. When you become ultra sensitive, you become sensitive to everything. Good, bad, and indifferent.
Right.
The world around you, the world you see, the world you don't see. And you have to take extra care of your physical body, your mental body, emotional body, spiritual body. There's a lot to it. It's not all fun and games.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a guest on next week, James, that I haven't had on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of his physical condition. When he does what he does, it drains him in such a way that he really doesn't function properly for quite a while. He's Gordon Michael Scallion.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon is going to come back on the air, but it's been a year,
mm-hmm.
and he has not been well, and he's not been well because of visions.
Mm-hmm.
It just drains him. And does it do that to you?
You know something, Art, it's very interesting. I used to do that when I first began, but I had to learn how to control the energy because it's all energy. You're dealing with energy and frequencies and attuning yourself to various frequencies. For instance, when I do my work, I will open myself and attune myself to a higher frequency. My whole physical body, of course, is involved and influenced. When I'm finished with the reading, I have to come back down into the frequency of my physical body. I have to slow myself down, and I have to, a meditation, you know, my must-do. I have to ground myself constantly. I'm constantly doing that and bringing myself back down.
All right. There is no subject in this world I am more interested in than life after death.
Mm.
No subject. I mean, it is the most interesting to me, and I think many other people. If I were to ask you, are you certain, are you sure, unambiguously, can you say that we survive physical death?
Yes, you bet.
And if somebody were to pin you up against the wall and say, how do you know that, what would you say?
I would say energy cannot die. You can't kill energy.
Well, that's true. But how would you prove that you survived with some sort of consciousness?
Well, the only way I can base it on really is my experience, isn't it? I mean, that's how we go through life, based on our experiences.
You bet.
And I would just have to go based upon my the readings I've been in, the sessions I've been in, information, which is really, it just blows me away half the time, because many, many times people will still see me doing sessions at public demonstrations, and I bring things through, and I get exhilarated. I'm excited, and I just say, that's amazing. It still amazes me, because it's a miracle each time.
All right, I understand you've got a 2-year waiting list for individual consultation, lectures, interviews, that kind of thing.
Right, and let me just finish with that. The reason is because what I do is I'm known as a survival evidence medium, which means my specialty is really bringing through evidential details, names, places, events, things I would know nothing about. And many of the times I'm reading the person, they don't know certain information. It's not in their consciousness. They have to go home and ask a relative to verify. And 9 times out of 10, it makes sense. And I don't know how it happens, but it does. So,
James, do you do things that go beyond individual readings? In other words, are you sensitive to what may be coming for all of us or larger events as well?
Very interesting. It's really where, you know, it's really where one focuses their energy. If I attune myself or focus my energy on other areas, then I can open myself up to it and receive things. Sure, earth changes, all those sorts of things, I can open myself up to those.
Well,
I'm sensitive to these things.
I am particularly interested in that. Is that something you do or you avoid?
I never really go for it, but I do it. I mean, I can do that, but I've never really, that's not been my specialty, per se.
Uh-huh. Your specialty is...
But I will tell you that I don't feel, when you were mentioning about the storm coming up to Southern California, I had a very strong feeling or sensation that it would not be destructive. I didn't feel it at all. I felt it would die way before San Diego. I didn't feel there was any...
I certainly hope you're correct.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. But that was my feeling that I had.
The one difficult thing we have right now is this horrid El Nino.
Yeah.
And ocean temperatures are 10 to 12 degrees more than they ought to be in that area. That might sustain a storm that otherwise would die in the northern waters. We'll have to wait and see. But they are now issuing some warnings.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing is right. So there are a lot of changes going on. Weather is one of them. And I think there are other earth changes coming as well. But you said that's not your specialty. You specialize instead on actual contact
correct.
With the dead.
That's correct. Proof that there is no such thing as death. It's really just a doorway. As Damien has mentioned also, it is really just a doorway. It's like having a worn-out pair of shoes and leaving them and you're free. I mean, it's very simple. And it's wonderful. And the people come back and they'll bring through their personality and things they like, their dislikes, how they passed over, things that the person would only know, which really it's wonderful. It's a wonderful healing.
Okay, talk about the difference. You keep saying frequency, that you go to a higher frequency. Is the difference between here and the other side frequency?
Yes, it's all vibration. It's all energy, and it's different levels of energy. You know what it is really, what I like to put it this way, or to make it as simple as possible for everyone, because I'm not a physicist either, but molecules vibrate at a certain rate of speed,
that's
energy.
Right. Yep.
Well, when the molecules vibrate at a faster rate of speed, that's where I go to. That's the frequency I'm talking about. Fast spirit vibrates at a very fast rate of speed. That's why most people cannot see spirit with their physical eye or hear with a physical ear, because they're not attuned to that higher frequency.
But occasionally along comes somebody who is.
Correct. That's right.
Yes.
And
all right.
I am that way. But there are certain, it's very interesting because there are certain skills that various mediums will have. One medium will be very sharp in clairvoyance, where clairsight, they can see visions or they see spirit. Another person can hear the spirit voices. Another person can feel.
James, hold tight. We're at the bottom of the hour and I've got a break here.
All
right. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12, 1997.
Love is
Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired September 12, 1997.
James Von Prague back in a moment.
Now we take you back to the night of September 12, 1997 on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Once again, James Von Prague. James, let's talk a little bit about the what is the soul?
What is a soul? The soul is made up of a part of the mind. The mind survives death. The brain doesn't. The physical brain doesn't. But the mind does. The mind is part of the soul. And I believe the soul is made up of a myriad of experiences of the being.
Okay. I'm going to mention a lady, Claire Sylvia. You know that name?
I've never heard of her.
Okay. Claire Sylvia is a very interesting woman. I interviewed her. She received, she was 50, in her 50s, and she received the lungs and the heart of a young teenage boy.
Oh, yes, I did hear of her. The Chicken McNuggets.
Bingo.
There we go. So
not only that, but she dreamed the name of her donor.
Yeah, someone wrote me a letter. It was either her or a TV show. They wanted me to go on with her to bring him through and to see what would happen. And we never did that show, but yes, I'm familiar with her.
Well, that's why I asked you about the nature of the soul. I mean, was that some sort of genetic echo of that young fellow? Was that part of...
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. There's a remembrance, a memory. You know, each organ has a memory attached to it very strongly. Is that part of the soul? I don't know. I don't know, but I will say that it does have a part of a memory, that physical body, and that earthly experience.
What can you tell me about the nature of death? In other words...
Now we're getting into my topic.
In other words, do we live once and die and remain dead across that line, or do we come back?
I do believe there is reincarnation, which means that the soul, or the being, needs to experience as much as they can in order to grow. It's like a diamond. The more experiences you have, the more facets of the diamond, the sharper the color, okay? And with these experiences, you grow. I do believe that we set things in motion to grow. And the earth world is our school. And we have these wonderful experiences here we go through to grow. Once we've completed school, we go back home. And then we set up another way of learning, a further way to learn. And we continue on learning.
You know what you're saying right now sounds a lot like what the Heaven's Gate group said. They said Earth is school.
Mm-hmm.
They said we have graduated to a level above human.
Mm.
Sounds similar.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps all of what they said was not as whacked out as it was made out to be?
You bet. I believe there are some things. I don't know, you know, what their whole thing is about. I really don't, so I can't speak from that. But I will say that there are many people who have lots of the truth, but they mix them up in fear and other ways.
Sure.
Unfortunately, you know, it comes out in mixed versions, with the truth being in there somewhere, including religions. I mean, religions have bits and pieces of the truth thrown throughout it. But unfortunately, it gets slaughtered, and a man's ego gets in the way there and colors it very differently.
Do you believe the Bible to be the precise word of God?
Not at all. I believe it has the essence of God all through it. And I do believe that man, unfortunately, twisted the words, the sacred words, to fit his own needs, to control people. There are definitely, I believe, passages there which are true. And ring of the truth, definitely, no doubt about it.
I share that view with you, but...
I think it's been translated so many times, and there's been so much of man's influence in there to help to control, using their own selfish reasons, their own greed, their own egos to be settled, that unfortunately it's changed. But I do believe there are definitely places in there where the essence is still around, still alive.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But there's fear. There's fear.
The fear
of God. Are we really supposed to be afraid of God?
Oh, boy, why would we? God is pure love. God is pure love. It's unfortunate that the religions have controlled people by fear. That's, of course, how they do it. It's controlled by fear. by fear you control the masses. And they do that everywhere. Advertising does that. Everyone does that.
Yep.
That's who control people. And when you realize there is no fear, and look, it's fear of death. When you take the fear away from death, then people can start living life. And through life, then they progress and they learn to love. They're not afraid of love. They're not afraid of death.
Reincarnation again. Do just humans reincarnate?
I believe that animals reincarnate as well.
Oh.
And I do believe that animals will reincarnate through the animal kingdom. I don't believe, many people believe that they cross a species, they cross kingdoms. I personally believe, from my experience, that they stay within their own kingdom. And what a wonderful way to teach human beings unconditional love. Yeah.
I've got a cat that's about one notch from human.
You bet.
And then I've got two other cats that are cats.
You got it. That's very true. I have one also who's very much a lady and very human in many, many respects. And they have a wonderful sixth sense, don't they? They know exactly what's going on, animals. Right before earthquakes happen, you look at your animals and you'll see they get very strange. They'll hide or they'll be away.
Oh, yes.
And look at the cows before it rains. Sometimes there's a storm, approaching storm. They will lie down on the ground. The animals know. They are very aware. Or when someone walks into a room who doesn't have whatever, we want to call it bad vibration, bad energy, the animal will walk away or go near their master to protect them. It often happens.
Well, there's not a lot of difference between the animals and, I mean, we are animals as well. The only difference is we have conditioned ourselves out of hearing all of this or feeling all of this. But I bet some, like yourself, and some people can, in effect, begin to feel these things the animals feel if you train yourself to, can't you?
You bet. You bet. If you become more aware of the inner world instead of the outer world. When I teach my classes, I always tell people to go into the inner world, the inner you, that you which was very real when you were a child, that unfortunately around the age of 6 or 7 closed down. Because you become more sensitized. If you can train yourself, becoming more sensitized and knowing yourself better, then you can feel these things and know things, become very wise with the human condition.
All right. The other side. I want to talk about the other side.
Oh, good.
What you know about the other side. Everybody wants to know. I want to know. When we die, where do we go?
Okay. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying all of my answers for the past 12 years have been based totally on my experiences with spirits that have come back and also many books which I've read, hundreds and hundreds of books on the subject. So that's where I get my background from. And from that, I must start with that in the Bible. It says, my father has a house with many mansions.
Yes.
What that means is the various spiritual levels which exist, of which there are many. And you go to that level which you created on the earth based upon your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. The love that you make is the love that you take. You know, there was always that little saying about God writing his book, and writing down everything that we do. It's very true in many respects, in that every experience we have, it is recorded in what's called our aura, the electromagnetic field around us.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time of death, as Damien will also attest to this, we go through a review of our life. And we see what we did good and what we did bad, or if you want to call it that. We judge ourselves. There is no God that sits in judgment and says, you go there, you go there.
We judge ourselves.
We judge ourselves. And we see how a simple thought affected someone. If we were mad at someone at a store, perhaps, and we yelled at them for no good reason, and they in turn, it upset them, and they in return turned to another storemate and yelled at them and so forth, and the energy was transferred that way. When you pass over, you see how your one word, your one thought upset that person and in turn how it upset the other person. And we see the rippling effect and how we are all one. We really are all one.
That's a terrifying thought.
Isn't it a terrifying thought?
It is. To imagine
really
that you will have a full life review and you will feel what everybody else felt from you. That's terrifying.
That is when we have to start taking responsibility for our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. You see? That is our responsibility here, to learn, to take responsibility for how we treat one another. Because it's very true, we should treat one another as we ourselves would want to be treated. Because it will come back, and every action has a reaction. What we give out, we will get back.
Is there hell? Is there a
yes,
hell?
Yes, there is hell.
There is.
Let me just also say, because it's so interesting, many people will come back, and they talk about a first level they go to, what's called the astral level, which is a very real physical level, where they will experience things like they had on the earth. They have houses there, they have trees, They have lakes.
Right. I was hoping for that. Beer, football, sex.
You can have whatever you want, Art. Whatever you want. Whatever satisfies you, you can have it until you get to the point where you feel it doesn't do anything for you anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's very much like, you know, we work, we go for a job, and we stay in that job, the position, for as long as we need to.
Kind of like party till you drop.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And you realize it doesn't do anything for you anymore. You don't need it anymore. And you move on. And many of these spirits, these souls, people that pass over, they need the physicality, number one, feel comfortable about the transition.
Sure.
Many times, there'll be a house set up. Like, let's say a husband goes before the wife. He will set up with his thoughts the house and all details of the house that they had on the earth. So when his wife passes over, she will feel comfortable with the transition.
That makes sense.
It happens quite, this is what I hear all the time. And hell, like I said before, there are many mansions. What you give out, you get back. Like I said, you have to review your life, all the thoughts, all the things you did. If you lived a horrible life, if you killed someone, if you were mean to someone, you have to relive that life, the thoughts, the words, and you feel everything that that other person felt, how you treated them, and that's hell. Forgiving yourself, reliving it over and over again until you forgive yourself. And one of the hardest things I have found for spirit, you know, for people when they pass over is to forgive themselves. And that's many of the readings when they come through, the spirits come through, one of the first things they will say, please forgive me, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Because they want to move on too. And many times they're almost chained to the earth by their loved ones because of how they treated them. And they want, you know, this is what comes through most often.
James, what is a ghost?
What is a ghost? Well, I would say a ghost is someone which could be, number one, a person who didn't realize there was no such thing as death. See, death is a very natural state. We die every night. We go to sleep. We leave our bodies every night.
Little slice of death.
Yes, a little slice of death. And what happens is sometimes the death occurs very quickly, and the person doesn't realize that they've passed over because they're still very much in a physical body. It seems like they're in a body, because the spirit body is exact replica of the physical body.
And they're in that area where there is a physical plane.
That's right, but they're not yet to that area because they're still around their house because they don't realize they've passed over, you see?
Sure.
And that would be called a poltergeist also. And if someone, if their mind was set on the physical world and the physicality of this world, they were greedy, they liked things their way, they wanted their things, their house, this will draw them down. If they have no consciousness about moving to a higher level, no spirituality,
mm-hmm.
It certainly doesn't help them. You are what you are.
It seems like poltergeists, ghosts, that sort of thing, occur around very specific incidences. People who die suddenly, who are not expecting to, people who die with some incredible passion that was not completed on Earth. It was all cut short, and somehow they just can't go on.
Totally correct. That's exactly right. Exactly. Many times I've brought through people who have not finished up. And I've had murderers, people that have been murdered, and they were upset about being murdered, that their life ended so quickly at the hand of another.
Yes.
And they want to finish something up that they came back to do, and they are really upset about not finishing. And, you know, it doesn't really help them to be upset, but many times that condition will remain with them. And you see, one of the things, too, is once you pass on, there is no such thing as time.
That's where I was going next.
I thought you were.
In other words, is there any reference at all between what we know of as time and what is what is the passage of time? It's hard to even talk about there.
Right. The measurement of time is only, it really only relates to the physical world. And then we get into quantum physics, which I'm not an expert at. But the time is only relative to the physical world because there's a sense of measurement of growth. When you in the spirit world, there is no growth. You measure growth by your experience, or your experiences. See, that's what it is. People realize, the spirit people realize that it's your birthday or that there's a holiday because they come and see all the you're running to stores and buying things and Christmas cheer. That's how they know, because they're seeing you running around. They know your thoughts, and that's how they register that.
Huh.
It's very interesting. Many times I've brought people through and said, you've been over there for about 20 years. I said, oh, my goodness, it feels like just yesterday I arrived. So very much out of time.
When you experience contact with somebody on the other side, I guess you've been doing it so long now that it's, I don't want to say ho-hum for you, but...
Well, it's never ho-hum because each experience is miraculous. I mean, it really is a miracle. It really is. And the energy of love which comes through I can't even give you in English the language here that we have, because the feelings are just incredible. And that's why I do the work I do. It's just incredible amount of love.
Do you believe the time will ever come, and how will it come, that we actually establish contact other than, you know, through somebody like yourself or Danian or others?
Oh, certainly.
In other words, will science ever do it?
Well, right now, actually, as we speak, there are organizations, and they have Mark Macy, who's a fascinating man, works with contacting spirit. And Luxembourg is a whole society where they contact spirit through electronics, through the computer,
uh-huh,
through the telephone. They've done these things. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've actually had set with an experiment, and we've had the spirit come through, and they work with the white noise of the band radio.
That's right.
And that's how they come through, and they use that. And they're experimenting with that, and they've had some wonderful successes. And they've said that one day you'll be able to see us on television, on a kind of television. It's being kept very secretive because they do not want...
They're doing that work now?
Yes, they are.
Talk about worlds in collision. Holy mackerel.
Yes. And they have to be very secretive about it in some respects yet, because they don't want anyone... They don't want the information to get in the wrong hands.
Are you in contact with these people? Do you get a report on the research?
I'm not. My friend Mark does it all the time. He travels around the world, does it. And there's a book out about it. Yes. I mean, I don't get on a regular basis, but I just call him up and talk to him.
Well, it might make sense. If what you're saying is true about a simple difference in frequency being the answer, then electronically there could eventually be a door opened. Is that a door we really want to open?
I think so. I think we could afford to open that door because look what we would have to learn. And by learning more about the spirit world, we learn more about the physical world, how to treat each other here, and that's really what the most important thing is. I mean, that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Right. I guess it is. But, I mean, there will be those who say it's not nice to fool around with Mother Nature or God's realm in this case.
Mm. Well, I think the more we do know about the spirit world, I do believe it will help us to have a much better life and world here on this earth and learn how to treat each other better. It will definitely make some incredible changes.
You know what a remote viewer is, right?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
What realm are remote viewers operating in?
I believe that, and forgive me because I'm not an expert in the field, but I have had several experiences with students of mine who have been doing remote viewing and have had wonderful successes. And I believe that there's a sense, a part of their consciousness which leaves the body and does go to that place, and they view things.
So they could be in the same realm.
I don't know if it's the exact same realm, you mean as spirit?
The astral plane.
They could be seeing things that spirit would see. Oh, yeah, and there are people that leave, Robert Monroe's book, Far Journeys Out of the Body.
Sure.
Teaches, how to leave the body. And they've had many people who leave the body and they have experiences with spirits on the astral level, and they're meeting them. Many people, have, through meditation, actually, you see your guides and do see spirit people. Many people can do it that way as well.
All right. Is all over there on that side love, or is there evil?
Well, again, it goes to the heaven and hell question, because with one there is another, and you learn about love through evil, don't you? I mean, you have to have both to learn. Like I said, there are places where that does exist. There are levels where that exists, I'll put it that way.
Is that a danger for you? In other words, have you ever run into something that, pardon the expression, scared the hell out of you?
Oh, sure. And I should tell you that, you know, the way I work and the way the natural law really is like attracts like. If you keep yourself in a loving place, you will only attract that which is at that level. It's like walking into a room where there's too much light, too bright for someone, and they have to close their eyes. The level that I work at, the level that I'm in or that I'm on, is a very loving level. So I wouldn't draw those negative things to me, but I'm not saying they're not around. But I think I'm also very well protected, too, because I made an agreement with my guides. If I did this work, then I'd be well protected. And they said, you will be. I will tell you, I had a story, though, once, where a girl came to me, a complete stranger, of course, and she said, I want to speak to my adopted brother. And I said, well, we'll see if he's here. And about 20 minutes later, I said, there is a man here. And I said, it's very interesting because he is speaking to me from the floor up towards me. And most spirit people will talk to me from the top of the ceiling down to me, like the left side of me. I said, this is very peculiar because he's cursing at me. he's saying some horrible things to me.
Really?
Oh, it's horrible. And I said, the feeling I get is a very nasty, negative person. And I said, this is what I feel like evil. And I said, it feels dark, and I don't like it, and I'm going to let him go. She goes, oh, he was exactly like that. That's what he was like. He was in jail. He was in prison. He killed someone. I was like, well, thanks a lot for letting me tune into that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. All right, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. Take a break. We'll be right back. My guest is James von Prague. I'm Art Bell, and this, of course, is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Free Mirror Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 12, 1997. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12, 1997.
Good morning, everybody. James von Prague is my guest, and he'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12, 1997.
To James von Prague. James, are you there?
I certainly am.
Good. All right. James, we were talking before the top of the hour about the possibility of interaction between this side and the other side. And you told me they were doing research with respect to electronics, computers, something that would actually establish contact with the other side, almost like you could watch TV.
That's right. It's called instrumental transcommunication. And they've used computers and telephones televisions they've used and for quite a while. And there's a society in Luxembourg is where the main chapter of this is. And Mark Macy wrote a book called Conversations Beyond the Light by Dr. Pat Kubis and Mark Macy.
Mm-hmm.
And describes all the experiments and the successes. And they have various scientists also who are involved on the other side who work on this experiment with instrumental transcommunication.
Are they ever going to go public with that?
I think they're going to. You know, again, I'm not privy to their information a lot, but I think when it's safe and when the spirit people say it's safe to do it and go ahead, they will.
We talked a little bit about ghosts, spirits here on Earth. Is it possible, James, to trap a spirit?
Yes, it is possible to trap a spirit.
You
can trap a spirit. I'll say trap. I'll say put it to you like this. Everything is, a spirit receives impressions from you, whether it's prayers or thoughts. And if you, for instance, are very upset about someone's death and you grieve and grieve and grieve, you're actually holding them down.
Really?
You're holding them back because your thoughts keep them down on this level. It's very much like a telephone ringing and ringing and ringing. They have to answer it and answer it. They can't move on. And they have work to do in the spirit world. They have things they do there to progress, also spiritually. And it does no good to the person on the earth or the spirit, because the person on the earth also has a job down there. They have a mission here, which they have to continue and evolve. And if they're spending most of their time grieving, they're not going to do their mission, their work here.
Did you ever see a movie with Mimi Rogers in it called The Rapture?
No, I never have, unfortunately.
Trust me, rent it, go see it.
I will tomorrow. The Rapture, okay.
Yes, you definitely need to see that. And so then I won't give it away.
Okay.
What about those who commit suicide, James?
In my book, I have a chapter on that because people have been asking that for many times. It really comes, though, I found, behind the motivation behind the act. For instance, if it was someone who was mentally ill, well, a lot can't be done for that person. But if it was someone who's conscious of their life and had a good thing going, then there is a little bit more they have to pay back for that. Also, you have to realize that you come back into this life and you set yourself up. You set certain magnetic fields up for you, magnetic ties to the earth, and you have prepared for this incarnation. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a natural time to be born, natural time to die. Mm. If you pluck yourself out before your natural time, mm-hmm. you are still tied to the earth's magnetic ties. You're still here until it is your natural time to pass on. Very much like pulling an avocado and pulling a pit out of an avocado before it's ripe, or a fruit before it's ripe.
Well, the organized religions would be a lot more down on it than that. They would say you've committed a mortal sin going to hell.
Right. Well, however the interpretation was, you know, what the interpretation can be. Many times I found that spirit will go into a sleep or a slumber, and they wake up during the anniversary of the death, and they relive the entire thing again. And many times I brought through spirits who were on that level and begging for forgiveness. There's one about a boy in the book that wrote a story. They came through, and I said to the mother, I said, there's a man here, and I said, this is very strange because I see a man, and he goes to the backyard of a house, and I said, I see him hanging on the tree. He's hung himself, and he actually showed me him leaving his body, and the realization, oh, my God, what have I done, trying to get back into the body and can't. And I said, he's been this condition ever since, and it's been about a year, you know, before the reading. So these things happen.
Okay, that's somebody who shouldn't have gone. They went early. They cut off an otherwise good life.
You bet.
What about the person with terminal cancer, AIDS? They're okay. In pain. They're racked with pain.
Let me, again, I will talk about that in 1 second. Let me just also say, though, there are many spirits who tend to, they pass over, and they see what they've done with their lives, and they're in such a rush to get back into the incarnation that they come back before everything is set in rhythm. And then many times they will be walking around this earth feeling as though they do not fit in. They just, their timing is off. They don't feel like they belong here. And I have found many suicides to be a result of that. People felt they did not belong here. As far as AIDS and cancer, terminal illnesses, well, again, it's up to that individual soul to decide for themselves. But maybe they had to go through that experience for whatever reason. Maybe through that experience, they were helping to teach other people how to love, other people taking care of them who have, you know, come out of their, who started loving them or loving more because this person was ill. Maybe that person is ill is teaching these people how to love. Maybe there are valuable lessons in that, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Once you realize there is no such thing as death, it doesn't really matter.
Danyan says that, too. There is no such thing as death.
Oh, there isn't. There isn't. There's only life. There's only life. That's all there is.
Life and life and life and life.
Mm-hmm. Life and life and life and life. And I'm sure there's life in other places besides just this earth.
Well.
But I don't know about more about that. But,
well.
You know, I'm sure there is. And
during,
other ways of evolvement and other beings and other energies and so forth.
During all the time you've communicated with the other side, have you ever felt you communicated with something that was not human?
Oh, I have a great story for you. I have a wonderful story for you.
Go right ahead.
And I'm a Virgo with Capricorn rising. Now, people know astrology. That's a very down-to-earth, grounded person. And a Virgo is someone who's very scientific and, you know, very analytical left brain. So here I am, and I started this part of the reason I have the audience, the people that back me or believe me, is because I come to this with a very skeptical mind. Okay?
Okay.
I want proof. I insist the spirit gives proof and so forth. I brought a group to Sedona, Arizona, which you probably know very well.
I do.
Yeah. And we had ufologists help us to bring a tour to a certain area. And there's that ranch over there, there's a private ranch.
Yes.
I don't know the name of that. But then there's also supposedly underground caverns and whole underground areas for these UFOs, okay?
You're on the air in Sedona now. And what is special about Sedona? Let's begin there.
Well, it's an energy vortex. There are many vortexes. There are minerals in the earth. Iron ore is very strong in that area. And perhaps these instruments, these people bring in, this, whatever you want to call them, these beings, need that mineral for energy.
Okay.
I don't know. But when I was in Sedona, we saw at least, well, I'll put it this way, we saw lights in the sky very close to us, and there were pulsating lights moving. There were colors I'd never seen before, and these were not airplanes. These were something, I saw them. I did not see it as disc-related. It was dark, but they were definitely something which I had never seen before, nor had, you know, 20 of the other people that were with me. At one point, the man said, I said, they're beautiful. Some of these lights are very, very beautiful, and they're very close. Very much like Close Encounter.
Yes.
Very much like that.
Yes.
And I said to the man who was heading the tour, the group here, I said, you know, I have a sense that there are presences in the field here. And he said, yes, there are. Now, many times he said you'll see lights in the field or some that appears like someone's eyes, but they happen very quickly. And I had this sense come over me that they were there. And he said, they are. And I said, they want to communicate. Mm. Now, I couldn't believe I was saying this, but that's the feeling I got. Overwhelming sense that they want to communicate. So he said, well, go ahead. So I walked into the field, and I felt these presences very much around me. And when I say presences, I mean a change in the energy. You know when you're standing in a room and someone walks behind you?
Yes.
And you feel that someone's behind you?
You
that
do.
That sort of thing, right?
Right.
So that's the sort of thing I was feeling. And I opened myself up, and I got that these were beings from the Pleiades. And all they said to me was, we do not understand how the human being has an element known as love all around them, everywhere with them, around them, and they do not use it. Isn't that interesting? That was the message. And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, on one level in society right now, that's absolutely true more and more, I'm sorry to say. On another level, some individuals are growing spiritually, but some are going in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give your book a plug here in a minute. I wrote a book called The Quickening. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's it simply says that in every single aspect of human endeavor, economics, politics, the environment, I could go on about that forever, every single social behavior, every aspect of human behavior, things are beginning to move at a faster and faster clip, exponentially faster, and that we're headed toward some sort of an event of some sort.
Yes.
And you believe that?
Oh, definitely. We're going faster and faster in time. Things are speeding up quicker and quicker. The vibration is getting faster and faster. I've heard this. This is something I've heard of. Yes. Most definitely.
Do you have any sense of what may lie ahead?
Do I have a sense of what might lie ahead?
Yes.
The only sense that I get, really, Art, is that people will be definitely becoming much more aware of the world around them, of the people around them, and themselves and how to treat people. I do believe there's going to be a very strong spiritual consciousness, more overwhelming, and we're going to see more phenomena like you had last night. More things like that are going to occur. Much, much more. I believe that within the next 10 to 15 years, our government's going to come out and talk about UFOs openly. They're going to have to because it's going to become quite obvious and evident. They're all around us. And things that we thought at one time were just stories are real.
All right, here's a fact. Can you please ask James the following? My dad died of lung cancer in 1995. During his last few years, he treated my mother and myself horribly. Only in his last week of life did we find that the cancer had spread to his brain and probably accounted for the things he did. When he died, he took his cats. We took his cats. Each time when I found myself thinking about him and what he'd done, his 18-year-old cat would stand up and stare into space.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I took a picture below, which he includes in the facts,
mm-hmm.
and captured a white ball of light.
Mm-hmm. Spirit light. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is this spirit trapped here because of the things he did, even though he was under the influence of an illness?
Very interesting.
And I've got a picture of this ball of light. It's pretty weird.
Oh, yeah, I've had pictures like that. I have quite a bit of them, and that's very common, actually, that will happen, especially in the certain conditions where the spirit is around and they're unhappy and they need forgiveness. They can't move on sometimes. Just like we were talking about before. That's a great example right there. I do believe that that man wants forgiveness and wants them to forgive him and that he's sorry. He regrets the way he treated them. And, you know, I must say, this is where prayers come in. And the Catholic Church is very right when they talk about having a mass and concentrated prayers, because prayers are pure loving thoughts. Really what that is love being sent out. And that will help that individual to progress, to move on, show them love. I always tell people, you know, if you were in his shoes, what makes you think you would do anything differently? You know, how do we know what that man had to go through? You know, we might have treated the same way. So we're not perfect, are we? So I always tell people that. You have to forgive someone. But you never know, you might have been the same way. But, yes, I do believe that. Definitely his father there.
Well, if you go through a full life review,
mm-hmm.
take a man like this. This is a hard question, really. I mean, here's a fellow who had brain deterioration, cancer that had spread to his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And in his life review, will he really have to review the hurt he visited on others because of a physical malady that he had?
Of course. You'll have to go through everything. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem fair.
Well, you see, we learn from these things, and we learn more about ourselves through these things. Many times cancers come out of imbalance, and it could be from the spiritual, the mental, the physical, the emotional. Maybe that man had learned to be more balanced with his emotions, and maybe next time now he'll come back with that recognition or that memory, that soul memory, because he went through this heavy experience, that he'll come back next time knowing he has to be more in balance of his emotions or physical. I feel psychically, on a psychic level, that this man's emotions were totally out of balance. I really do, and that's why I feel like that might have, again, that's what I feel. And he might have come back next time to equal that out.
All right. You are a medium rather than
right.
a psychic.
Let me put it this way, Art. It's easy to put it this way. Every medium is psychic. Not every psychic is a medium.
All right. I envision then a séance.
Ooh.
Do you do those?
I do séances.
You do séances.
We do not hold hands or have it dark or a red light or candles. We don't need any of that. That's very Hollywood.
I understand.
You saw the movie Ghost, which probably everyone has seen.
Oh yes.
Very, very similar to what I do. I bring through evidential details. But you don't need to sit and hold hands. And it's very funny because Los Angeles Times was here and they did a piece on me. And they expected all of that. They expected the dark curtains and the dark, you know, the dark room and the candles. And I'm just an ordinary guy sitting in my living room and saying, okay, let's start. And they're like, wait a minute, don't we have to hold hands or something? I said, no, we don't do any of that. It's very Hollywood.
Are there ever during a seance physical manifestations from the other side, that others see, other than you?
Yes. Actually, yes, they do many times. And again, it depends on the type of mediumship being used. I am predominantly a mental medium, which means I will get mental impressions. But there are physical mediums where actual physical manifestations occur. I went to a seance about 2 months ago, and these people from England were here, and we saw spirit lights all throughout the room. There were fingers in the air, hands in the air. And when you touch them, there was nothing behind them. You feel people touching your hair. And it was a conditioned seance room. I made sure of it because, you know, like I said, I'm very skeptical. I checked everything. And, yes, that does happen. Many times when I will be doing readings, though, I will have someone, cold breezes will happen. Bells I have a bell in my room, and that'll go off. Music will start. I've had that happen.
Why cold?
It's a change in the temperature, the energy. It's energy, the spirit body. And the vibration that they're on, it's the physical world, the dense physical world, for some reason there's a coolness. And that's how the molecules vibrate. That's what I've heard because of the spirit body.
Have you been investigated? Have teams from parapsychological units ever come and actually brought instruments and tried to measure changes in magnetic field, changes in temperature, changes that could be documented in some way?
I invited them to do brainwave changes. That would be really great to have me just hook up to a machine and see my brainwaves, if they would change before I would go into an altered state and what was as I was in the altered state. And it was not done. I didn't do that. But no, I've never been tested that way. And I just don't know if they have the right machinery to measure this sort of thing. I do believe in some ways that they don't have it yet.
Yes.
Yet. I think they will one day, but I don't think they do yet.
All right. Well, you'll enjoy this. Bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. Sit tight, James.
Okay.
From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September
12th, 1997. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive. I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft and furled the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across the river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado.
I've been racking my brain, hoping to find a way out. I've had enough of this continual rain. Changes are coming, no doubt.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
Recognize that crystal voice?
You seem to want from me what I cannot give. I feel so lonesome at times. I have a dream that I wish I could live. It's burning holes in my mind. It's been a too long time with no peace of mind, and I'm ready for the times to get better.
I am in love with this voice, that face, that hair. I'm going to take Shannon's picture down. Put up crystals. I think I've made a conversion. That's Crystal Gale. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Now we take you back to the night of September 12th, 1997, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
My guest is James Von Prague, widely respected by everybody I've talked to as being the real McCoy. He's a medium. And we'll talk about the status of mediums with him in a moment, but I have got something I want him to hear and I want you to hear. This just came to me. Thank you, David, for sending it. It's entitled Patients Near Death See Visions of Hell by Robert Matthews, science correspondent. It ran in the United Kingdom, UK News, and reads as follows. Terrifying accounts of gravely ill people who claim to have been dragged to the gates of hell by demons are to be studied scientifically for the first time by a British psychologist. the existence of so-called near-death experiences, NDEs, in which dying people report having mystical sensations before being resuscitated is now widely accepted by doctors and scientists. Their cause, though, unknown. They typically involve a feeling of deep peace, followed by a sensation of floating up through a tunnel toward a bright light and into a beautiful kingdom. But it is now becoming clear that for some people, NDEs are far from blissful. Instead of feeling a floating upwards, they report being pulled downward toward a pit inhabited by demons. The experiences of Evelyn Hazel, a London-based art historian, as she fought for life against meningitis are typical. Quote, I had reached a critical stage in the illness, was hovering between life and death. I was aware of being involved in an intense and very real struggle for my life, she told the Telegraph. Quote, a three-legged being, rather like the Isle of Man symbol, was pulling both my legs down to infinite depths. I knew without a doubt that if I relaxed and I gave in, I'd be dead. I believe this struggle went on for some considerable time, and I eventually managed to break away from whatever it was pulling me down. Mrs. Hazel went on to make a full recovery, but she has never forgotten her terrifying ordeal at the very threshold of death. A similar experience continues to haunt another named Jane, a woman who fought for life after a miscarriage. She said, quote, it was an awful feeling, like I was going down a big hole and I couldn't get up. I was going into this big pit. I was going further and further down, trying to claw my way back up, and I kept slipping. Similar accounts are now being studied by a psychologist at Coventry University who plans to use science to probe the negative nature of NDEs. How about that, James?
Ooh, scary. Ooh.
Ooh, scary is right.
I've done it for 12 years, and I haven't had one of those experiences yet.
Have you heard of people who have?
No, I haven't. But I must say, you like attracts like. I'd have to know what these people's backgrounds were before they went passed over, and also what their conditions were when they died, and what their makeup was. You know?
All right, here's another one for you. Please.
And I just also mentioned that my book, Talking to Heaven, I just want to put that in there because people were asking me. Yeah, October 27th it comes out, and that's how people can contact me in the book, and they have my website and my address, and I'm answering all these questions on suicide and AIDS and Alzheimer's and life extension machines, and also how to become a medium, how to deal with grief, the process of grief, how one goes through the process, the various steps.
All of that in your book?
It's all in my book, Talking to Heaven, so I want people to know that.
Where can people get it?
October 27th at any major bookstore.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me take you back now to life extension machines.
Yeah, like putting them on a machine.
Oh, you mean...
life support.
What do you think about that?
I don't go for life support. I believe there's a natural time to come in and go out. I do believe that the person will pass over when they want to pass over, no matter what they're hooked on to. But I don't think we should extend life if it's not meant to be.
Hmm.
Of course, you're speaking to someone who believes in life after death. You're not speaking to someone who doesn't, so... I'm a little biased.
All right, please ask James, assuming that a soul is reincarnated,
right.
Is there any particular time in which this occurs? For example, upon death,
right.
Is a soul immediately reincarnated, or is there a sort of waiting state? If there is a waiting state, what do you believe determines which soul gets reincarnated to the new life?
Good question. Very good question. I do believe in reincarnation. What happens is the average time for a soul to reincarnate is 200 to 300 Earth years. That does not mean that that soul cannot come back earlier than that. But you have to remember also that they prepare for the next incarnation. And as I said, things have to be in its natural progression. For instance, they also, when I said prepare, let's say they want to be a doctor in the next life. For some reason, they have to go through being a medical doctor. They might prepare and study this in between incarnations if you do that. And many times people will wait for other beings, their soul mates, to come back into the light. And we usually will come back in group souls, families, and friends to rework the karma from the other lifetime.
Huh.
You know?
I've got the September-October, somebody sent it to me, a 1997 Backwoods Home Magazine, whatever that is, but it's got a classified area in it. And I'm going to read you a quick classified ad. It says, wanted someone to go back in time with me. This is not a joke that gives a P.O. box in Oakview, California. You get paid after we get back. Bring your own weapons. Safety not guaranteed. I've done this only once before. It's my way of introducing a question. Is or do you think time travel will be possible?
Yes. Yes, definitely. It is now in so many ways. I've done it.
You've
oh, my God.
Done
you've done it? How
you've
have you
done,
done
it?
It?
Right. Exactly.
Well, you will probably heard of Dr. Brian Weiss, Many Lives, Many Masters.
Yes.
Yes. Well, he's a good friend of mine, and we do seminars together. And we did one recently in Ensenada, Mexico. And it was quite profound because he regressed the group, and I also went along with it. And I don't think I'm very easy to be hypnotized at all. But I saw myself, and I knew it was me, in military uniforms, one right after the other, general, corporal, all of these uniforms flashing from one war to the other. And all I saw were the uniforms, but I knew they were mine. And I knew it was me, and I was there. And I knew that I was responsible for sending in troops or soldiers, whatever you call it, for killing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. I called the shot. And I knew that that was six lifetimes that happened. And I knew that I came back in this incarnation to alleviate all that karma for those people and bring in love instead of war and hate.
Oh, I was about to say, that's serious karma.
And yes, and I've come back in this lifetime to alleviate that. And that is, I would say that's definitely time travel. That was definitely time travel. And I mean, it was real, so real art. I could see the buttons on the uniforms. That's how real it was.
Oh, that's real, all right.
And that to me would be time travel. I mean, you see. There's no such thing as time. I mean, the soul goes way back and way forward if we measure it that way.
So you're not scared of death?
Oh, God, no. I look forward to it.
You know,
oh, yeah, get out of this world, please. Yes, I look forward to it. I feel like I'll be going back home. That'll be home. I never felt like I belonged here. It definitely feels like I enjoy life, definitely. But it does feel like there's work here. I definitely feel like I'm in school and so forth.
So you understand that you are to remain here until...
My mission is complete.
Until your mission is complete.
Mm-hmm.
What you almost sounded for a second like you were a candidate to take yourself out early.
Really? I thought you were going to say an alien.
No.
Waiting for my ship to appear and go back on.
No, somebody who might feel that he's graduated and take matters into his own hands.
Oh, God, no.
You're not that. But
no, life is sacred. I would not do that.
You're looking forward to... Exactly right. You're looking forward... That's my feeling, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Life is very sacred. On the other hand, I'm a libertarian, and mm-hmm. what other people do with their lives, I wouldn't want to get in the way of, and I sure as hell don't think our government ought to be getting in the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Laws against...
Laws against suicide?
Yeah.
Again, I believe it's up to that own soul's nature. You know, I don't think our government has a right to involve themselves in other people's lives. I don't believe that at all. I think everyone has their own... You know, that comes up in the learning process of each soul. They have to go through it themselves. No one should be dictator to how a person moves their life. I don't believe that's... I think everyone should have the freedom to decide for themselves.
All right. If a husband or a wife or a family member comes to you as a medium
right. And
asks you to talk to somebody who has passed on...
Right. I don't ask who they want to speak to either. I know nothing about them, nor do I know who they want to speak to.
Well, my question is this. Okay. Are there ever things you were told by the person on the other side that you don't pass on?
That I censor. And the answer to that is no. My agreement with Spirit, when I first did this work, when I got myself involved in... I want to tell you, I was working at Paramount Studios in a wonderful position over there, and I should have stayed. It would have been great, but I gave up that top job to do this full time. Now, at that time, when I made the agreement with the spirit world, and that's how much I believed in this work and the faith that I had in it, they said to me, I said, we made an agreement where if they give me the information, then I am able to give it out, and that's how we've worked it. Of course, I do, certain things will come through a certain way, and I say it nicely, I won't, you know, hurt someone, but if they give me the information, I will definitely give it out.
So you might at times not precisely translate?
Well, I mean, you also have to remember that they're sending me their thoughts. So there has to be a small influence of me there. It has to be. I try to get it out as fast as possible because I don't want to color the transmission at all. But, no, I would say the essence of what the message is about definitely comes through. Definitely. For instance, I've had people who would come through and say, you know, I'm helping talk to your mother because you need to speak with her. I'm making a place for her here. Now, that sounds like mom's going to pass over, but that's the way it came through. And that was the information. And it's up to that individual that I give the information to decide what they're going to do. Are they going to tell mom or aren't they? The information comes through. It's up to them what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I was about to ask, are you ever told when people will pass?
Rarely, but occasionally. I once had a demonstration. It was wonderful. There was a man, I guess the second row, and a lover died of AIDS, and he came through, and he mentioned about the picture above in the living room, the picture that was painted of him after he died, and that the man sat there and said, yes, that's right, and all these other evidential things in the living room of the house or whatever he was up to. And it really it shocked me, because then the man said, I am waiting for you, and I've made a really nice place for us over here. I'll see you in 2 months.
Wow.
And I freaked out. I mean, I was freaked. And the guy put a big old smile on his face. And by his appearance, I could not tell he was ill. I mean, it was just very strange. And later he came up to me and he said, yes, I have HIV. And I said, well, I'm sorry, that's what came through. And I didn't want to say that, but it came right out. That's one of the times I remember when that come through.
Did he die?
I didn't keep up with it, so I do not know. I do not know. But, I mean, he took the information in a good way. Now, you know, also, maybe the spirit knows how that person is going to receive the information. Maybe they realize that their friend or their family member will be okay with it, so they can say that.
Could be.
You know what I mean? So there's a possibility there. Because he seemed fine with the information.
How frequently is this more of a burden than a pleasure for you?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, because when I used to do private readings every single day, it became much more of a burden.
Right. With,
you know, changing the frequencies here and there. And you have to realize that once someone realizes you can contact their side, they start thinking you're the savior and whatever you can do and performing, you know, you're the deity and all this sort of thing, which that I don't like that at all. That's not me. People put you on a pedestal. People make out you what you're really not.
Right.
They really expect me to be something different than I am, and I'm just this normal, down-to-earth kind of guy.
Can you describe in words that we could understand what kind of state you put yourself into, how you get into that state?
Sure I can. If anyone has ever meditated before or put themselves in a deep relaxation state by doing breathing exercises, concentrated breathing, anyone can do it now. I mean, you know, they can just close their eyes and just concentrate on their breathing and the rhythm of the breath. And just keep it to a nice, slow level and concentrate on one thing, like love, the word love, and just see the word printed and so forth. Well, eventually, you know, you will put yourself into an altered state very easily. Actually, we do it every day. When we go driving, we go into an altered state. We hypnotize ourselves constantly throughout the day. It is very much like that. I become, or you know that little feeling we have right before we fall asleep? That's very much the state. I become very, very receptive. It's very funny, because I freak my frequency of my body speeds up, but yet I have a sense that I'm slowing down my mind, because I become open and very receptive. And it's at that point that the spirit is able to fill my mind. It's really soul-to-soul communication with information, and then it comes through.
Do you see things as we visualize things, as humans visualize things, when you're in that state as a medium? Do you see things, or is it a simple, direct transfer of information?
Such an interesting question, and I have to answer it this way. It's very, very interesting. When the personality of the individual comes through, they come through with their personality exactly the way they were when they were on the earth. They bring through their likes and their dislikes. The prejudices and their loves, their hates, everything. Many, many times people say, oh, my God, that sounds just like her. Oh, my God, he used to say that all the time. That comes through. At the same time, I say that because there are people on this earth now who are more visually oriented, and there are those who are more feeling, okay?
Yes.
So when they come back and communicate, many will either, some will show me things. It'll be much more visual. So they'll give me visual evidence, like they'll show me what the house looks like, or what they used to look like, or the dress they used to wear, and then I'll give that information out.
All right, do you see that as you see things, as clearly as you see things in the physical
3D,
world?
3D, like a movie. Mm-hmm. Just like a movie.
Wow.
Exactly. But it's very fast. It's very, very quick. It's very rapid fire. And I have to tell them very, very often to slow down. Slow down. I have not processed it yet because they're going too quick. Their frequency is way too fast. See, they have to slow themselves down to a level that I'm able to receive it. They mentally do it because the spirit world is all thought. It's all done with thought. So when they come down to this earth level, they slow themselves down to my level and they start transmitting these thoughts to me or these visions.
If we were to receive word from one of these research projects, like the one you talked about,
mm-hmm.
that actually there's been a path of communication electronically established with the other side,
mm-hmm.
and the world were to suddenly collectively realize there absolutely is another side.
And you see the government run and scramble to license it and take over and monopolize it. You watch. You know what I'm saying? Regulate.
Probably AT&T.
Probably.
Reach way out.
No doubt. Yes.
But
a long-distance phone call.
My real question was, how do you think that would change society?
Oh, I think it would be a major change to society. The way we live our lives would be totally different. I certainly would hope, that what people believe is important would completely change. Really, what they take on is, many people believe that success is just made of as much money you can create. I think that would totally change. The priorities would change, I believe. I do believe that, and I believe there'd be more love in this world.
Cast aside a lot of material interests.
You bet.
That sort of thing.
You bet. And, material things, we're here to learn through material things. They're not bad things. Those are good things. It's just that when they become your creator, those material things, they run your life. And it's not the right thing.
But you said prejudices are carried. In other words, Archie Bunker dies, Archie Bunker is still Archie Bunker up in heaven, assuming he makes the ride.
I say that because when they come back down, they communicate with me, many times they will bring back the earthly memories that they had and the earthly personality. I will say that I'm not sure they might drop that after a while. They've been there for a while. They do evolve there. And those little petty things will fall to the wayside. Once they forgive themselves, they see themselves as a total being and what they are really made up of, then that earthly last life, earthly personality would drop by this wayside.
Fascinating. All right, look, we're at the top of the hour. Do you want to stick around and take calls?
Sure.
All right, consider it done. My guest is James Von Prague. And he wrote a book called Talking to Heaven. If you want to talk to him, it's coming up next.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on the fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll..."
Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired September 12, 1997.
My guest is internationally known and respected. He is James Von Prague. It is a very unusual opportunity for you to speak with him. One has to wonder whether a seance could actually be conducted on the radio. I'll let James think about that. I'm not really sure myself. It would be something, though, wouldn't it? Contact with the dead? This is one man, I am told by nearly everybody I'm in contact with, including Danion, who is a real McCoy. So buckle in. This could be very interesting.
Now we take you back to the night of September 12th, 1997. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
one other quick item on my website. You will be able to get real audio of what occurred last night on this program. We will, in addition, repeat that program tomorrow night. In addition, you may order that program a copy of one of the strangest radio broadcasts in the history of radio by calling 1-800-917-4278. Normally, the network does not make available tapes of open line programs, but we cut a deal today so you can get a copy of it by calling 1-800-917-4278. On my website now, information about the broadcast last night. Also, don't forget the Rogue Market. This is going to be the hottest weekend of trading in the Rogue Market, Art Bell stock, since it all began. Go to the Rogue Market, fill out the form, buy some Art Bell stock. It's getting expensive. You can only buy a little, but that doesn't matter. There's so many people going up there now that if you buy now, throughout the weekend sometime or another, you're going to get rich. So you just go to my website, www.artbell.com. Click on the Rogue Market and go over there and fill out their little form. You get free Rogue dollars. Then eventually you get Rogue prizes if you do well. All right, back now to James on Prague. James, is it possible...
I'm going on your website getting some stocks right now. Hold on.
No, don't do that.
I have an edge about that.
Is it possible to do what you do on a medium like this, on radio? Can you actually...
I have done it before, yes.
You have?
Uh-huh.
You're not on your portable phone again, are you?
I'm not on my portable phone, no.
Oh, because it's got kind of an echo to it.
Okay, let me move my chair here.
Okay.
How was that?
Better.
Okay.
Mucho better.
Mucho better.
Are you ready for the public?
Sure.
A lot of people out there.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I can always, you know, something like this is open to many conditions. So just because you want someone to contact someone doesn't always mean they're available to speak. That's very much has to be considered.
Somebody sent this to me, Psychic News. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes. I've been interviewed in Psychic News and many times.
All right. It's the spiritualist newspaper with 100,000 readers. And I'm looking at a headline here. It says, Vatican stands by spirit communication. Pope hears taped dead talks. Electronic voice phenomenon now accepted without reserve by the Vatican.
Interesting. I haven't seen that one. That's very interesting. We're going to see more of it.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
More and more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this was way back September
27, 1975. Yeah, we'll see more of it.
All right, here comes the audience. Let's see what we get. First time caller line, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Arlington, Texas.
All right.
Arlington, Texas.
Okay, this is Virgo with Aquarius ascendant, James.
Oh, good.
And I was just wondering, is your son in the eighth house?
Pardon me?
Is your son in the eighth house?
My son is in the eighth house.
Oh,
very
so
good.
Is mine.
I have a loaded eighth and a loaded 12.
Yeah.
The two deck houses.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do work with birth.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be an eighth house subject. Anyway, mm-hmm. What my question was, is I do a lot of bereavement work with parents grieving over the loss
good.
Of their babies. Do you ever work with the souls who at the last minute decide not to be born? And if so, what have they communicated to you?
You're talking like miscarriages and things like this?
Yes, and full-term births who suddenly perish before they're born.
I haven't had that, although I have had guides have come through and other relatives of people have come through and said that that soul needed to go through that experience, and that person who was carrying that being, that baby,
mm-hmm.
Had to go through the experience as well,
mm-hmm.
that it was a shared agreement between them.
I see.
And, you know, you have to remember, just not every soul is supposed to have experiences of 70, 80, 90 years.
Right.
Some only need 10 years, 20 years. Some only need to go through that birth experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't measure things just by our 70 or 80, 90 years. Mm. Longevity.
I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've quick question that I want to throw in here.
Mm-hmm.
What you do as a medium, you're well respected by everybody I've talked to, but there are a lot of people who claim to be mediums
mm-hmm.
who are frauds.
You betcha.
Now,
loaded with them in the field.
Yeah.
Loaded with them.
Yep. That's what I was going
to
say.
I'm always having to prove myself. Yep. I agree. And I am one that goes out, just like Houdini, who I love, goes out and I try to prove the frauds. I teach class, and I insist at the end of my classes that the individual, they put a blindfold on, and they start doing their demonstration.
field.
Huh.
They can't do it, then they're not in the class. That's it.
Wow. All right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Where are you, please? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, my name's Pat. I'm calling from Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey.
All right.
And I'm really shocked I got through. I've been trying to contact James.
Well, you've
well,
got
if you died, it probably would have been easier to contact
I think
me
so.
Than to be living.
I never thought my wildest dreams I'd get through. I'm so happy.
How are you?
Fine. Is anybody around that you can tell me?
Well, the way I, you know, now you have to remember how this thing works is the individual, yourself, you think about someone and you send out the thought to that loved one. And the thought, they receive the thought that you want to contact them and they try their best to come down and be with you. And then if they send a message to me, that's how I do it. So that's how I work. So you, if you have someone in mind that you've been thinking about, then you just let me know who that is and we start from there. Is that, do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is to you, do you have someone in particular you want to contact?
Yes.
And can you tell me who that is?
My mother.
Okay. Is your father over there too?
Yes.
Because I'm getting your dad much stronger than your mother. So, hold on a second. Your name is Pat?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Was your father over there before your mother was?
No, my mother was here first.
Okay. Who had trouble with legs or something to do with wrong with the legs? I'll make this easy for you. Was there someone who had trouble walking, please, or trouble with one of their legs?
Ma'am?
Not really. I know I had a grandmother.
No. I want to go there. I want to stay with your parents because I'm getting the story strong. Was there someone who was in, like, a hospital bed that they couldn't walk or had trouble walking before they passed? Did your mother have trouble with walking before she passed over?
No.
Okay, was she in the hospital?
Yes.
Okay, was she in there for a period of time in the bed that she didn't walk around or something?
No, it was fast the way she went.
It was fast. I'm getting some trouble with legs. Is there something, do you have trouble with legs or have you had any trouble with a leg?
No.
Okay, I don't know what that means. What's your mother's first name?
Mary.
And what's your dad?
Michael.
Now, I got to tell you, I get your dad much closer to you right now than your mom.
Uh-huh.
Which is very interesting. And isn't there someone else with the name Michael, another person with that name?
Yeah, I have a brother, but he's not deceased.
That doesn't matter. I'm just asking if there's someone else with that name.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been being told there's someone else named after him, like a junior. And is there also someone with the name of Joseph, please?
But not on my side of the family.
Okay, that's fine. Is there someone in the spirit world named Joe or Joey or Joe?
No.
And your dad comes in with someone with the name of Joe. I don't know what that means. And I'm also being told about something. You know, I don't think your parents believe in this at all. I think your dad is the type of person who's very black and white, you know. If he didn't like you, he tells you right to your face, too. He doesn't seem to hold things in. He just tells you as it is. Was there a sale of a house around you or someone in the family?
Me.
Okay.
I sold my house.
Because your dad's telling me somebody helping you to sell the sale of the house, whatever that means, right?
I thought I had help from the other side.
You thought you did. Well, you know, they will often do that. Often they will do that. And you're like, how the heck did that happen? Because that went through so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But your dad is telling me about the sale of the house that he helped you with. But there's also something about water he's talking to me about. And now I don't know what this means. If you... Again, you have to remember, I have to interpret his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Something about going to the water or looking in the water or being by the water. When I don't know if it was when you were younger, if he would bring you to the water.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, because he keeps on saying, when she was young. And it's a strong memory he has with you and the kids about going to the water, all right? Like an outing of some sort. He's with a grandmother of yours, he's telling me, which must be his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's also someone there, a lady, I don't know who she is, it could be the grandma, whose mind was not her own, she says, before she passed over. She was out of it. It feels like she was in a coma or she was just out of it. Do you understand? She was blanked. She was out of it. You might not be aware of this. Do you know how you grant if your grandma had a coma or she was unconscious for a bit?
No.
Or there was a stroke?
Yeah, well, she had a heart attack and died.
Yeah, who had a stroke with a problem with the brain? You know, like a, because what I tell you, what I'm getting here is this woman, the feeling sense I get is that she was totally unconscious, just very unconscious, and she wasn't in control of things. her mind.
All right, there you are. I don't know if I'd like this, James, to be able to know all you just said, just based on talking to somebody. I don't know if I'd like that.
Like?
Like, I don't know if I'd like that. I don't know if I would want to be in that, what you just did, to literally be in communication.
Oh, in my space, but I'm picking these things up.
I understand, but I'm... he gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, gives me the heebie-jeebies. Oh. It's weird, Art. It's something pretty weird. But, you know, the thing which gets me is I get this information, and then the person doesn't understand some of what I'm saying, and I know what I'm hearing, so it's like sometimes the interpretation is messed up.
Yeah.
Now, many times it happens, they go home, and they ask someone, and they'll think about it later, and say, oh, my God. It's like psychic amnesia.
Sure.
And that happens quite often.
All right, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Good morning. Where are you, please?
Hello?
Hello.
This is Sherry.
And where are you, Sherry?
I'm calling from Michigan.
All right.
And my dad was Jack, and my girlfriend's father was Roman. They did not know each other. My girlfriend, her name is Fran. Her brother's name is Frank. And the three of us all met after I met their father, Roman, who I loved dearly. He died 2 years ago, and my father, Jack, died 3 years ago. I would like to know if our fathers met, and I'd like to know if they have any messages for us, and how my father feels about me now that he died, and I'd like to know if my father and Roman are friends.
Okay.
If that's possible. If you get
something
anything.
Something simple and easy like that.
Pardon me?
Something simple like that. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I just,
that's okay.
I've been wanting to know. In fact, if you could come to Detroit, Michigan, Phenomenews would probably have you be interviewed, and we could do so many great things. I don't know if you know of Phenomenews, but I've been wanting to meet you for so long.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Let me just tell you what I do when I tune into you. I tune into your vibration, then I tune into the spirit that's around you, if they are indeed around you. If I do not get a hit from someone, then I have to tell you, sorry, I don't get anything.
Okay.
I will tell you right now that this Roman person, I don't get him around you. I'm sorry. I don't get him around you.
How about Jack?
I do get the sense of a person with this, your father, the father vibration around you. But I will tell you also what I pick up. I pick up that he is with a lot of people. I have a big family here around you in spirit. Your father is with a lot of people. I don't know if he had several brothers. Or there are some men in the family. Are you aware of that yet?
Yeah.
Know that?
Well, he had three brothers. One of them's alive.
Okay. But there are many men in the family. So
four brothers, I'm sorry.
Okay. And
one
I
devil.
Feel like maybe even his father had brothers. There seems like a lot of men in that side of the family.
Right.
And I'm serious. This is what I'm getting here. Because he comes to you with a lot of, like, male energy around him from family members. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hold on, because, you know, something talks very, very fast. This man is a lovely man. Your father is a lovely man, and that his vibration is a sweet vibration. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He's a sweet soul. Now, when I ask you yes or no, I only do that to get validation from what I'm hearing. That's
okay.
Why I ask questions.
Okay.
Okay. What I pick up with this man, he's a very lovely man. He said to me he was ready to go. He said I was ready to go, and he said he was tired. He said he was tired.
Why?
Hold on. Let me just keep on going with him.
Thank you.
He said he was tired. He also is showing me his hands, and his hands look very rough. They look rough, like he works a lot with his hands and, like, doing things. He also is going on about how he lived his life for other people more than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Because he gives out more to others than himself.
Yeah.
And he's learning now. He has to give more to himself. He worried about your mother a lot, you know. He worried about your mom.
Yeah.
And he also worried about doing things the right way for your mother.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
There were prayers said for this man after he passed over, and he was very, very happy about the prayers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would he have been of Christian faith, like Catholic or something?
No, Jewish.
Jewish. Oh, was there some kind of a religious, can you keep on showing me something gold, like a religious emblem?
Yeah.
I know it was like a Jewish star or a high or something like this?
I'm not sure if it
okay,
was
who
that.
Who has his Jewish star or the Jewish emblem?
Pardon me?
Does someone have this?
Thing? There was like a ceremony done on a wall, to, like a plaque. I think it was a gold plaque on a wall with his name in a synagogue.
Okay. But I'm talking about the actual symbol of the Hebrew symbol or the religious symbol. That's what I'm being shown. Doesn't he have a son?
Yes.
Would you please ask the son if he has like a Jewish star or a high or something like this? Because
okay.
Your dad is talking about that.
Okay.
I don't know what the heck that means, but please ask him. And see if the chain broke, because the chain has been broken, he's telling me. There's
now
also a watch that your brother has of your father's.
Pardon me?
He also has a watch of his, he's telling me.
Okay.
Would you please, if you know that?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Now, regarding the chain being broken, do you mean a literal chain or do you mean a chain of love? Because the chain of love is broken.
I'm talking about a literal chain.
Pardon me?
And a real chain.
Okay.
Real chain.
The brother, my brother has disowned our family, so I didn't know if you meant that.
No. No, he's talking about, no, that's not what he's talking about.
Okay.
Now, when you said that to me, I sent back a mental thought to him and say, please come back with exactly what you're saying to me. Was he in the military, this man, Jack?
No.
When he was younger at all?
No, my... His twin brother died in the war.
He died in the war. Because
right.
He was with the person. I see a military uniform here with him.
Oh. His twin brother did.
Okay, well, he's met him.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who Mo is. M-O something Mo. I don't know what the name, Morris or something like this. And Rose?
Rose is my mother.
Okay, he talks about Rose. And ask Rose if she knows someone named Morris or Maureen or something like this name, because I'm getting it very strong. There's a lady over there that knows her. And your dad worked very hard. He also talks about leaving a car or having a car or something. So it's car trouble. I don't know what this means.
It might have been me.
Someone has had car trouble, he said.
All right, you two, we've got to break it off there. Well, you're doing it, James. You really are giving me the heebie-jeebies.
We like that, Art.
I don't know. I'll think about that. It's very strange. But then again, that's what I do here, I guess. All right, James Von Prague is my guest. And I think we're talking to the other side. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
James Von Prague is my guest. This is strange stuff. Very strange.
Now we take you back to the night of September 12th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Now to James Von Prague. James, it is a little unnerving to listen to. I've talked a great deal with people like yourself about the nature of the other side, but I don't think that I've ever sat and listened to somebody nearly go into instant communication with the other side. That's kind of unnerving.
I've had many years of experience.
I guess. Somebody writes, please ask more about the structure of the other side, such as you were talking about. You were talking about astral the astral plane houses other physical things. What levels follow that? What is the highest level? That's from somebody named Vera.
Well, the first level that I would mention is the astral plane, which is an exact replica of the physical world, but only better. For instance, there's no pollution, there's no garbage, no dirt, nothing like that. Only the finest things of this world, they replicate that. Beyond that, I believe, are finer vibrations. I don't know, it's hard to explain that we would understand, I believe.
More spiritual in nature.
Yeah.
The higher the plane, the more purely spiritual?
Purely spiritual, purely love.
Is it as easy for you to contact somebody on a higher plane as it is the lower plane?
No, it's harder because they're on such a high frequency, very, very high frequency. So it'd be much easier for me to contact someone who's closer to the Earth level. So, for instance, then if someone just passed over 2 months or 3 months ago, much easier for me because, number one, the memory is still so real to them and the conditions are still very close. Also, I should add that in the readings that I do, I'm really a slave to the spirit. If they were not very emotional, they won't be very emotional when they come through. If they didn't think in terms of detail, they won't do it this time. I find the best results come with people who are in the person who wants to hear from someone who's emotionally attached to that other person, like a mother lost a son or a husband.
Of course.
You know, it works much, much better.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with James Von Krug. Hi.
Hi, Art. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Where are you?
Bellingham, Washington.
All right.
Well, 2 years ago, this is a pretty big emotional connection. My father was killed in a car accident. He was on his way.
You know what? Don't tell me details like that, because that's what I'd like to bring in for you if you want to contact him. But thank you for telling me he died that way. But otherwise, just that's what you need to say, and then I would like to, you know, see what if he can come up with anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And is that who you want to contact then?
Definitely.
Okay. And can you just give me his first name?
Craig.
Craig. And what is your first name?
Darcy.
Darcy. Okay. Your mother's still alive, isn't she?
Yes.
Because there's been trouble around your mom. You understand about that?
Oh, yeah.
Because your dad is telling me he's very close, right with you. This man is right with you. It's very funny. He's also telling me about animals. I don't know if he had a dog, and the dog's in spirit now.
Yeah.
But he's talking about the dog. It's almost like a family dog, and he has it now. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. More of a dark-colored dog. Your dad he's very good sense of humor. He has a good sense of humor. And he said that's what got him through everything. Do you understand?
Yeah.
He liked to laugh, your father.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a sister?
Yeah.
And she's married?
No.
Is there a wedding coming up?
No.
Okay. Do you know anything about a wedding or him being at a wedding? Was there another daughter who had a wedding? Tell me about a wedding. I don't know what this means. And if you heard about someone getting married recently, a friend of yours or something, or something about a wedding.
A wedding.
No, he said he's been to a wedding, so... Or he was at the wedding. He also seems to be a very compassionate person. He seems to help people and, really help people that are desperate and out of sorts.
Okay.
You understand? And someone owed someone money. Does that make sense? Owing money. There was money left after he died. Someone was in trouble about money.
Yeah.
It was an upset about money he's talking to me about.
Yeah.
And was there a fight over money or a disagreement over money? And
not
where it should go
so much
to?
A fight as there was sort of confusion.
And where it should go to or where it belongs?
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
He died very quickly, your dad.
Yeah.
He said to me, I died quickly. Was this at the nighttime?
It wasn't. It was in the daytime.
It was in the day.
Clear, beautiful day.
Well, I got to tell you, I just see black, so it could be right when he passes out of the body. It was a darkness real fast.
Well, they don't know why it happened.
I'm sorry?
They don't know why it happened. There was a, you know, he was a beautiful sunny day. And
right. Do you know about his heart?
Well, they did an autopsy. That was something I was suspicious of, but they didn't find anything, but I'm still suspicious
of it. Your dad's telling me his heart, so that's what I'm being told.
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah, just let me ask you one more thing.
Yeah.
Were there mountains anywhere close by?
Big time.
Because he keeps
was
on
in
showing
the
me
mountain.
A scene. I got to tell you what he's showing me. He shows me a scene. And it's with mountains, and it's with beautiful evergreens. Well, I know you have it in that part of the country, but this is what he's showing me. And I see it, and I see a curved road. I see a curved road.
It was on a curve.
I also see that the car could have gone off the road.
Definitely.
You understand? Like off the side of the road.
Yeah.
And it also, he's showing me that it goes down a bit.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? There's also a truck, a pickup truck or some kind of a truck.
He crashed into a semi.
Okay, because he talks about the truck. That's what he's saying, the truck. They know what that means. Good.
Yeah, that's wild. The question I have is, he was on his way to be at the birth of my son. And 4 days later, my son was born. So there's always...
He's aware of him.
Hold on.
You were also... What? Hold on, I'm talking to your dad. He talks very fast, your father. Very quick man. He also... I don't know if someone does crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
I'm sitting at a table with crossword puzzles.
Okay, because he keeps on showing me crossword puzzles. Because he said he likes to choose his words correctly. And that's how he's putting it. Okay? He is still around you very much, and the boy. And I don't... Right. He's telling me something about naming your son after him, or was it a middle name or something? Or was there a thought about naming him?
Well, there was certainly the thought.
Okay.
That didn't happen, but...
But there was a thought about naming him, the middle name or something, he's telling me. And do you... Who has two houses, or building another house, or talk about changing a house? Did you want to build your own house, or was there someone built their own house?
That's
who
not,
has a wooden house?
That's
wooden
not
house.
Hitting with me. I don't.
Pardon me?
That's not... I don't know that yet.
Okay.
I don't...
Well, keep it, please, because I don't know if he built that wooden house. He showed me his wooden house, so...
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
The question was always the connection between my son and him, and, you know, there was... Well, you know, now my dad is actually my son... But, you know,
no, not at all. I wouldn't be able to contact him.
Well, now my son just has a special spirit guide, you know, that kind of...
Yeah, your dad's there a lot with him, a lot.
Okay.
And how old is your son, like, around two or something?
Two, yeah.
Uh-huh. Because he's talking about two. And I'm going to tell you something which sounds really funny. Your dad's talking to me about... see, now the emotion comes in, so I get very emotional. When he goes to the emotional level, I do get very emotional. He's telling me about some kind of a stuffed animal that was recently given to your son.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Someone bought a stuffed animal or he received a stuffed animal. I don't know if it was a little horsey or what it was, but he said it was from him.
Huh.
Do you recognize that, the stuffed animal recently?
There's so many around, but it's a possibility.
Okay, check, ask your wife about the stuffed animal. And see if there's one like a little horse or a pony, a little thing like that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jamie.
Right.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You bet. Very weird. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Hello.
Hi, Art. Hi, James.
Hello there.
My name is Carol. I'm from Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I have been having dreams about my deceased grandmother, grandfather, mother.
Is that your mother's side of the family?
No.
Your father's side.
Right. But all four of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they're trying to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything about a smoke detector?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me just say that the easiest way for a spirit to communicate with someone is through the dream state.
Okay.
And that is because you're on an alpha level, you're on a higher level of vibration, and it's almost like you can meet them halfway.
Mm-hmm.
We do leave our bodies at night, we go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and we can travel around the astral, and the spirit body is connected to the physical body by what's called the silver cord,
mm-hmm.
which is also referred to in the Bible, of course.
Right.
And that, when time of death, what happens is that severs, and the spirit is released, and the consciousness is aware.
Okay.
They're showing you that they're all together, number one.
Yeah.
That's what that means, that they're all together. They can also affect things electronically. First through dream state, secondly electronically. Radios, smoke machines, telephones, televisions, happens all the time. I get a sense they want to know that you're protected, very protected, because lately you felt like you've been very alone. By yourself.
Uh-huh.
And you understand that?
Yeah.
And this grandmother figure is a strong lady.
Yeah.
Strong energy she has.
Oh, yeah.
And she always has had that.
Yeah.
She whips things into shape.
Literally.
Okay. And she wants you to know she's there. And she wants to make no mistake about it. There's also someone she's with who used to make furniture. They used to make furniture, make wooden furniture or something to do with furniture.
Oh, yeah.
You understand that?
My granddad.
Okay, there you go, because that's who she's with.
Oh, I got chills.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome,
hey,
Carol.
Art?
Yeah?
Wild show last night.
I know. Thank you. And I've got chills, too, just listening to all this. I'm sitting here listening very critically, and it's disconcerting, James. I'm sure you get that reaction, don't you, from a lot of people?
Just concerning,
not, not necessarily the people you're talking to, like these people, but people who are listening to this just passionately. It's disconcerting.
You know, Art, what happens is people who are not aware of this, not, they're not exposed to this. It's a new, it's opening up a new door.
Yeah.
It's an experience that you're having, which maybe you have never had before.
That's correct.
And you're coming from an intellectual point of view. And maybe it's a heavy, it is a very heavy emotional point of view. You know, the very heavy emotions are set here. And you're looking at something totally different.
You know, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I sit here wavering between thinking, you know, here's James telling somebody something that he could just be pulling out of the air and telling them and testing for a reaction and sort of pursuing what seems like the more likely path. But I'm hearing you say things that seem to go beyond that in knowledge, and that's what's giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, you see, the specialty that I have is that I give evidential details.
Yes.
Not, you know, come on, who makes furniture? Not every grandfather made furniture. You know, and it gets better than that. These readings have been just okay for me. Usually they're pretty much more, but, you know, at radio, again, you're open to a lot of conditions.
Of course.
But it's pretty amazing in a demonstration with 400 people. Majority of those people have never been to anything like this, and they don't believe in it. And I welcome skeptics. I'd love to have skeptics because I believe everyone should be skeptical as long as they have an open mind.
What about the somewhat less than fully amazing James Randi? Why don't you go collect his $1 million?
I don't need to because, number one, he has no experience with this whatsoever, with what I do. I don't think he fully understands the work that I do, James Randi. I don't think he understands it at all.
Well, I don't think he understands the kind of work anybody like.
And I don't think I should lower myself to that standard.
All right.
I don't have to, you know what, Art, I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I'm not here to prove myself to anyone.
All
if
right.
You know, if anyone in the audience doesn't want to believe me, that's their prerogative. They don't have to. I don't force it down anyone's throat. I never had to advertise. You know, I've never done that. I don't care.
No, I understand. I mean, yeah. you must be your book 2 years out. So
yeah.
Obviously you've proven yourself to a lot of people. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Oh, this is Fred from Toledo.
Hi, Fred.
Finally got through to you.
So it seems.
Yeah. I do have one question for James.
Okay.
I had an uncle pass away. I was stationed in Michigan in the Air Force.
He died a long time ago, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Because I have a feeling this man has been a long time in the spirit world, and that he's, I'm going to give an expression to you, that his feet no longer touch the earth, because this man is very happy to be on the other side.
Yeah, but unfortunately I carried the burden that I didn't really get a chance to get home and at least say goodbye. I really wanted to, but as Art knows, in the military, you got to do what they say or else.
Right.
That's right.
You know what, Fred? Let me just say one thing to you. Thoughts are real things, otherwise I cannot do this, okay?
Right.
It's energy, and energy travels through the ethers. Obviously, because you're hearing Art's show, and how does that, you hear that? Well, it's transmitted to the air, and you have a receiver. It's the same exact thing. I'm receiving at a higher frequency, okay? But what I'm trying to get the point is that thoughts are real. So your uncle will receive your thoughts and prayers. So he knows how you feel.
Yeah.
You do not need a medium, per se, to go and answer it. You can go to him and talk to him yourself, and he will receive it. You might not be able to hear him, like a medium might be able to, but he'll definitely be able to hear your thoughts.
Oh, great.
Okay, who's Jim?
Jim?
Yeah.
I got a grandpa named Jim, but he's still alive.
I see. Are you around him at all?
No. Last time my son was about 6 years ago.
Is his wife over there?
Huh?
Are you your grandma over there?
No, I don't have any family over here. My grandmother died.
No, that's, I'm saying grandma in spirit.
He means over there.
Oh, I'm
sorry,
yes. My grandmother passed away when I was about...
Okay, is she was more related to a Jim?
Yeah, that was her husband.
Okay, so she's around.
Yeah, he's still alive.
All right, thank you very much, caller. Boy, direct hit. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning, James.
Good morning.
I was very fascinated when you mentioned this thing of people returning very quickly before they had a chance to set up those vibrations or energies which would be more suitable for the lessons or the experiences they need in the next lifetime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As I feel in some ways it resonates with my experience, especially when I was younger. And I was wondering, you know, taking into consideration that people have different experiences that they need to go through in life, and if you're making an effort to get back on track, you know, do you have any specific advice, or is there some sort of procedure to help that along if you feel like the timing was just way off?
You know, I do believe that there are those souls that come back much before their time. And I think if you are here and that's happened to you, because, you know, it's so interesting, we get over there and we're so ashamed sometimes of what we did, we want to make the wrong, you know, we want to make our wrongs right.
Uh-huh.
And we just rush right in there without thinking sometimes. If it's a human condition to be impatient. The more you know yourself, the better you'll be. I would strongly suggest, you know, getting more into inner knowledge of yourself, knowing how you tick, and really getting in tune to what you have to do in this life. What is your mission? What can you do to accomplish certain things? Because, you know, you don't have to waste your life here. It's not a waste. You can accomplish many things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say learning to know yourself better, whether through meditation or prayer or however you can do that. That's what I would suggest.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. First-time caller line, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello there.
This is Laura from New
Laura, pick up your telephone.
Huh?
Turn your radio off and pick up your phone, Laura.
Okay.
Two basic requirements.
Okay, here I am.
Okay,
here I am.
Okay, that's better. Where are you, Laura?
Where am I? Hello?
Where are you, Laura?
Oh, I'm in Newport Beach, California.
Okay. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I wanted to ask you about my mom. She passed on in November of 96. Her name is Pearl.
Okay.
Anything else I should say to you?
No. No. Who had a chest problem?
Yes.
Was there a chest problem or a heart problem? Or a chest?
Yes.
To do with her? Because when she comes in her death condition, the first thing they sometimes come up with is a death condition because that's the last memory they have of the earth. And did this lady take pills also before she passed, like medicine,
yes.
You understand? Because she's telling me that she had to take pills or something, like medicine. Make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Was there trouble with her heart?
Yes.
And, yeah, she's a, your mom, then take this the right way. She's a very aggressive or a pushy type of person when she comes in. And I say that only because this is what I'm picking up with her. She wants to talk very strongly. She wants to talk. There was some kind of surgery going to be done or procedure, she's telling me, about her heart. Do you know about that?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know if there were two procedures talked about.
Yes.
You understand? This is what she's mentioning to me. And one of them didn't go on, she's telling me. And your mom is very sad in some ways because your mom is going on about, now she's getting very emotional. She's telling me that she didn't know how to love herself. Do you understand?
Yeah.
She knew how to love herself, and she didn't treat herself good. It was almost like self-hate, you know? She wasn't happy with herself.
What about Dad?
Well, hold on, because I'm going to finish with your mother, because she's pushing in here. She's telling me about the weight problem, that there's a weight problem. And
hurry up and wait.
No, there's a physical weight problem, with, you know, pounds or diet or something. Do you know about this? Is there a weight? Have you been thinking about going on a diet, or has there been a weight problem with you?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because your mother is telling me that there's been some concern lately with you about the weight. And there's been, I don't know, someone made a comment to you about it, or some talk about going to see a doctor about it, or you that you wanted to do something about that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because James, we're at the top of the hour.
Okay.
What about murder?
Oh, that's no question to ask when we're going to a break. James, are you able to hold?
Yes, I will be for a little bit.
All right, a little bit more. Ma'am, are you able to hold?
Yes.
All right, well then we'll bring you back after the break. Stand by, please. Whew. Okay. I hope we were able to hold on to her. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. My guest is James Von Prague. Stay right where you are.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997. You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
Here I am. James Von Prague is here, and he'll be here till the bottom of the hour. Then we'll go to open lines. And I'm going to be very thoughtful for a long time about what I'm hearing tonight. James Von Prague has written a book, not out, it's about to be out. It's called Talking to Heaven. Where can you get it? I guess once it's out, anywhere, any bookstore in America, correct?
If they want advanced copies, they call Dutton Books in New York, and they can send them copies.
Oh, you can get an advanced copy?
Sure, Dutton Books.
Do you have the number?
I don't have the number, but I'm sure it's listed Dutton, D-U-T-T-O-N.
D-U-T-T-O-N Books in where, Manhattan?
Manhattan, New York, mm-hmm.
Oh, but they'll get a bunch of calls.
Well, let's hope so, because the book should get out there to a lot of people.
All right, we lost that last lady, darn it, but at the very end she said...
I know what happened.
She said murder.
Yeah, I think that her mother was in the hospital, and I think that she thinks that the hospital people were responsible for the death. But I don't think they were at all. During the break, I was tuning into it. Mm-mm, not at all.
All right, then maybe we will hear from her in a follow-up call and find out if that's right.
Can I ask her a question?
Yeah.
Are there any gold statues near you, like trophies or things like this, or awards around you?
Yes.
Yes, there are. And your father passed over.
Yes? No.
He didn't.
No.
Well, what are these gold statues I keep on seeing? Gold statuettes or awards or something all over the place around you. I see them.
All around me, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, I see them all around you. Isn't that wild?
They're all
and
around.
And your wife is teaching you how to love.
That's correct.
And who plays the piano? Did you ever learn how to play the piano, the keyboard?
I tried. I've got piano hands, my mom said, but I've never followed through.
Yeah.
First time caller line, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Hello.
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 Hi, James. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Where are you, sir?
I'm in L.A., California.
Okay.
And I would like to ask about an old friend of mine who passed away. His name is Greg.
Okay, Greg. Okay. And what's your name again?
Oscar.
Oscar, okay. How long have you been over there? About 7 years?
No, he passed away maybe... How long have you been friends?
No, how long have you been over there? 4 years, 7 years, or 4 years, something?
Like 3 years.
Okay. Okay, hold on. This man loves color. This man, Oscar.
He was color?
No, listen to what I say. He loves color. He loved color.
Oh.
He loved things that were colorful, very color. He loved colors, I'm being told.
Sure, he was a very good artist.
Okay. Because he's with colors now. He works with colors, okay? I'm to tell you, he works with colors. He's very good with textures of things, too, like fabric and the different colors of texture of fabric. I don't know what this means. He could put things together nicely, right? I feel that he gives me that he's around you a lot, but he's telling me about other people that you know also that are over there too, that he knows and you know that they are also there, mutual friends. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because he gives me, it's so funny, it looks like a choir of these people who are friends of both of you, and he's met them again. There's also someone named John he talks about, very strong, and do you own something of his? Did you get something of his after he died?
I kept a white rose from his funeral. I was a pallbearer for him.
You were a pallbearer of his. But I also ask you, was there a funeral with a lot of pictures?
There were a lot of his photos and stuff there.
Because he keeps on showing me his funeral with the photos or pictures, and this is what he's talking about. He also likes the outdoors, by the way. He's going outdoors, like hiking and things like this.
Yeah, we used to go when we were younger. We used to go a lot.
Okay, because he keeps giving me pictures of hiking. He's much better now. He gives me much, much, much better, much better, much better. Did he have any trouble with his breathing at one point, you know?
Well, we were childhood friends, and I don't really remember anything about that.
But, okay, now, before he passed over, do you know if there's any trouble with his breathing?
Well, he died of cancer, and he had a very long bout with it. He had about a 2-3 year bout.
Okay. Ask someone who knows if he was on a machine or if they gave him oxygen.
because he keeps on telling me he had trouble with his lungs breathing. So see about that, would you please?
I will.
It could be in the lung area. I don't know. I'm not being told that, but he's giving me trouble with breathing.
James, may I ask a question?
Sure.
After he passed away, I had a dream,
mm-hmm.
and in my dream, he came to me, and we were walking together, and we were holding hands, and he said that I had to drive a car, and as I let go of his hand, he said to me, I'll be back for you, and then that was the end of my dream, and I woke up, and I was very distressed, and so I was just wondering.
It doesn't mean you're passing over.
Okay. Oh, I know, but I was just like, will he be waiting for me as I go over?
Hold on, let me see. He has a very funny sense of humor, but he's a very dry sense of humor. You understand what I'm saying? It's a dry wit that this man has. Do you understand what I say?
Dry wit?
He has a dry wit. His sense of humor is very dry. He's a wiseacre. You understand? But in a dry sort of way. He said, your time isn't now. Your time is now. Your time. He said he's going to have to wait a long time for you.
Well, that's a good thing.
He's giving me this. He's telling me that when he said I'll be back for you, he meant that he would see you again in the dream state. That he would not. That's what he's talking about. You're going to see him. You're going to have dreams together with him again.
Oh, okay.
So you're not on your way yet.
You're not on your way yet. No, not at all.
All right.
That's a good thing. Well, thank you.
And thank you very much.
You guys have a good night.
Take care. Wow. Wild card line, you're on the air with James Von Prug. Hello.
Hi, this is Dave in Las Vegas.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Mr. Von Prug, you're just flat out astounding. You're just amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. I've done better, but, you know, I could only do what they give me. So.
I'd like to ask you a question regarding the event surrounding the death of a coworker a couple of months ago. Her name was Judy.
Okay. Wasn't it a very fast passing?
Yes.
Because I don't think the girl even had time to blink her eyes before she was killed. I don't know why, but I feel struck for some reason. I don't know what that means.
Mm.
Struck down. Does it make sense at all?
Well, it was ruled a suicide.
Did she jump from somewhere?
No.
She didn't. She just killed herself?
Right. She was found at home.
With a gun?
No, it was...
Overdose.
It was her wrist, I believe.
I don't like that at all. It doesn't sound right to me.
The death itself,
that does not sound right to me.
Yeah, it didn't for us either. This hasn't sat well with most of our coworkers.
No, it doesn't. I don't get that. I don't feel that at all.
And
I don't get her around you. So, but I'm going to tune on a psychic level and just see what I pick up because I'm not picking up her around you here.
The circumstances surrounding leading up to it were very odd. Also,
mm-hmm. let me see something here. Was she drinking much? Do you know? Do you know if she used to drink some water? Was she out of her mind a little bit to drink, or
was she
depressed before she passed over?
She seemed to be. She was. She had some prescription drugs. Nothing really heavy, like tranquilizers.
I have a feeling before she died, this girl seems very depressed to me, very down. And I have a man around her who is also drunk or depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see a fight of some sort. And I got to tell you, I see someone with a leather jacket, like a brown leather jacket, dark-haired man. And this man wears glasses, and they look like they're sunglasses. And he wears shiny boots.
Huh.
And this is someone who knows more about the details of her death.
Do you see anyone around her now? Or
this is what I'm talking about before she passed over.
Oh, I see. Where she is now, do you see anyone with her? Or we'd like to. It's better for us if we knew that she was at peace now.
I'm, you know what, Dave? I'm not getting her. I can't pick up on her per se. I'm not picking up on her. I can ask someone if they know about this.
Is this rather typical with suicides? Or?
It depends. Sometimes suicides are very hard to come through, and sometimes it comes through right away. I don't feel this was a suicide.
Huh.
I just don't get that. I wish I could help with that, but I don't get that at all. I feel there was someone else was involved in this.
Caller, is it a possibility that it wasn't suicide?
There were investigations. Several people involved that knew her very well knew that suicide was never, ever an option for this person.
This girl would not do it. No.
Maybe somebody ought to look into that. All right, thank you. That's very interesting. and that maybe that's why you couldn't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, used to the Rockies, you're on the air with James Von Prague. Hello.
Hi, this is Roberta from Media. And Art, I have to tell you, I love your show.
Thank you. You mean Media, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Ah, I once lived in Media.
Really?
Yeah, I went to elementary school there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Anyway, I wanted to say hi to James, and I wanted to ask you about my father, Bert, who's on the other side.
Okay, your name is Roberta?
Yeah.
Okay. He died some time ago, though.
Yes.
Because this man feels as though he's been over there for a long time. He's very well adjusted over there,
uh-huh.
And he's been with family members. I also see sisters. I don't know what that means.
He was very close to his sister.
Okay, because he's with her now. He talks about his sister. Mm-hmm. He loves you very, very much.
Oh,
thanks. Who has the ring of his?
My brother.
Uh-huh. And do you know if he wore it recently or did something to it?
Yeah, he's a priest, and it's embedded in the bottom of the chalice.
Okay, because would you please ask if he used that chalice very recently? Because your dad is telling me, and your dad, he's a nice guy. I like his vibration. He's saying he watched him with the ring, so he must have used that chalice.
Okay.
Okay? And he was moved to tears by your brother.
Uh-huh.
Your father was moved to tears by your brother. After he died, your brother moved him to tears.
Oh, I know what that was.
I don't know what it means, but it moved to tears.
It was when he was doing the eulogy.
There was some kind of a poem he wrote or some kind of a prayer he made up or something, but your dad was moved to tears.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know why he keeps on showing me his teeth, but he's showing me his full set of teeth, and he's laughing about it.
He had just been to the dentist before he passed away.
Really?
Yeah.
That is wild. Yeah, he has a good sense of humor. Because it was so funny. He was showing me a bright, bright white teeth and a full set of white teeth, smiling as though everything is all right.
Oh.
Okay. Love you very, very much. You're married, aren't you?
Well,
divorced?
I'm separated. I'm in the process of getting divorced.
Uh-huh. There's another marriage for you. And
there is?
Your father's helping you with this other marriage.
Oh.
So you got to learn more about yourself, who you were.
Uh-huh.
And you did, you see, and then the marriage broke up. As you've grown,
yeah.
And you're going to meet another man, and the initials is the first part of the alphabet, like A to D, like, I don't know, the David or in the B's, but
uh-huh.
Between A to D, and your dad is giving me a very strong indication he's helping you and looking out.
Uh-huh.
He also showed me a boat. I don't know what the boat means. Who went sailing, or was there a boat that he liked or something?
He was in the Navy, and before he passed away, I was going to take him fishing.
Okay. Because he doesn't talk about a boat ride or a boat.
All right. We've got to go. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Right. That's completely eerie. How much does this take out of you?
It depends on how easy, how open the person is that I'm reading and how good at communicating the spirit is. That's very easy if they're very open and, you know, and the spirit is easy and very emotional, then it comes through very easily. Otherwise, I've really got to reach, you know, and it takes a lot out of me.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with James von Prague. Hi.
Hi, this is Barbara from Spokane.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, Barbara. I'm going to be up in your neighborhood in October.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In Seattle.
I saw you 2 years ago at Body, Mind, and Spirit.
Yes.
It was phenomenal.
With the Mustang car?
No.
Is that the one?
No.
Oh, there was something wild with the Mustang car.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. I said, you're fixing something about your father's telling me you're redoing a Mustang car to paint. And she goes, yes, we just did it today. We're refixing.
Oh, yes. I remember that lady.
Remember that one?
Yes,
was a wild
I do.
One.
I remember it very well. It was an extraordinary afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping so much that you would call on me when I was there. But I have
so
to tell you,
people, I
when
think.
I left, though,
it's up to the spirit. It's not up to me, though.
Well, it was wonderful. It was wonderful just
Thank
experiencing
you.
Everything.
Thank
okay,
you very
who,
much.
Okay, who I would like to know if is available to give messages to me is boyfriend Pete.
Your boyfriend Pete. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did he die quickly?
Yes.
Because he keeps on talking about being quick. He's around you, very strong. He's telling me about being in your bedroom. And he's also talking to me about you feeling coldness around you, coolness.
Yes.
And he's also showing me some kind of a chain around your neck, some kind of a locket or a chain. Did he give you something like this?
No.
Okay. Did you, I don't know what he's showing me this for, but he's showing me like this locket or this chain thing. It's a cross, or what it is.
Oh, a cross. There was a cross.
Okay. He's showing me that. He's saying thank you, thank you, thank you for helping him over. You helped him over.
I
said you helped him over. He's also shown me balloons. You know what that means. And he's shown me roses. Who planted roses?
No one that I know of. There were a lot of roses or, you know, flowers at his funeral.
Did you keep a rose?
No, his mother gave me one, and I made her put it back. I said it was for him.
Tell me about the rose or the roses. It's very funny. Did he like baseball?
I don't know.
He told me about baseball, and he's laughing about it, and I don't know what that means. And did he know your dad?
No.
He didn't. Okay. I don't know why he's talking about your daddy. Your daddy passed over?
Yes.
Well, I find it comforting that he can still be talking about baseball.
Oh, yeah. They do. They do.
Maybe there's NFL on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Field of Dreams. He's met your dad.
Wonderful.
He loves you very much, this man. And I'm also going to tell you something. He's with you with his flowered, I don't know if there's a flowered upholstery in your living room or the couch.
Yes.
Do you understand about that?
Yes.
And he's showing me that. And he said he sits there with you watching the television.
Oh.
Okay.
Wonderful.
This is what he's showing me. And there's also a birthday or anniversary he's talking about. Just passed, just coming up, but this is what he's showing me.
Just passed.
Okay. Was that yours?
Anniversary.
Anniversary.
It was our anniversary.
Oh, okay. There we go. And you thought you were thinking about him a lot.
Yes.
And thank you for putting his picture on the wall.
Pardon?
You hung a picture of him up?
No.
You
I have
a picture of him sitting up somewhere?
I do have pictures of him.
Okay. There's one, like, sitting up on something you're showing me. I know it's sitting on top of the television or it's sitting up on a bureau or it's just sitting up, he's telling me.
There have been times where it has.
Okay. And also some of it being in the kitchen at the kitchen table, so whatever that means.
Hmm.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. And we're woefully out of time here. What do you tell people about what you're able to do? I mean, how do you explain this to them? What do you say to them?
I just say that I'm able to reach a higher frequency of energy and that when there's a lot of love available, I'm able to bridge the living with the so-called dead, that there is no death, and I prove that.
What was the purpose of your book? I mean, I've heard you do what you do tonight.
Right.
Why did you write a book?
I wrote a book to bring the message to everyone. Number one, that there is no death, there's only life. How we treat each other on this earth affects what we move on to when we pass over, and how to deal with the grieving process when you're going through it here on the earth.
Huh. Well, it should be a very interesting book, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be very interested in reading it, and they can get a pre-copy if they want to by calling again.
Dutton Books.
Dutton Books in Manhattan.
Right.
Or if they just wait a little while, it's going to be in literally every bookstore in America.
Yeah, and I'll be doing a lot of TV 2020 and Primetime Rosie. I'm doing all those shows.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. Rosie recognized me in a store, and she said to me, "You're that psychic guy." I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "What, did they drop you on your head?" And she was wonderful. And she invited me on her show. So I said, "When the book comes out, I'll go on your show." And she says, "Great." So we'll see what happens with that.
Wonderful. And we'll all be looking for you on those programs. James, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Art, very much for having me.
Take care, my friend.
You too.
All
bye-bye
right.
Now.
Bye-bye. That's James Von Prog. So many people urged me to have him on the program. And I don't know. I'm going to have to sit back, and I'm going to have to think very hard about what I just heard over about the last hour and a half as we were taking calls. Remarkable. Intriguing. Anyway, we'll be back with Open Lines from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, Tonight's program originally aired September 12th, 1997.
I'm on a crystal kick.
It is untrue. And ought to make my bright eyes blue.
And I'm so far behind in my commercials.
Tell me no secrets. Tell me some lies. Give me no reason. Give me alibi.
As a real woman.
Tell me you love me. And don't let me cry. Say anything. But don't say goodbye. I didn't mean to treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had.
Do you do that? Play songs over and over.
And
I play them over and over till my ears bleed.
And ought to make my brother. And ought to make my brother. And ought to make my brother through.
Oh, man. You ever get a chance to see her, you go see her.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 12th, 1997.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Sean in Albuquerque, Richard Hoaglandland.
Yeah, Richard Hoaglandland is right.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on your book, The Quickening.
Yes, sir.
I really believe that book should be taught in high schools. Should be an average textbook.
Thank you. You know, it would be horrible in a way, but the day may come when that may occur, or it may be looked back on as... What's the right word? I'm not a prophet. It's just that I clearly saw what was coming, and now here it is, and it's already well underway. So I appreciate your comments on the book. It is a very unusual book, and it's amazing to me. It debuted on the bestseller, New York Times bestseller list, 22 this week, and then we looked at the New York Times bestseller list for business, and it debuted as number 6 on the bestseller list.
Well, that's terrific.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
It blew me away.
Oh, yes. I got one more question for you.
Sure.
Well, while you went on vacation, they were doing the Best of Art Bell, and on Friday, I believe,
right,
they had a recording of someone who flew in Area 51 and was shot down.
That's right.
Whatever happened to that? I miss your show from time to time on the security
guard. There was no follow-up, and you wouldn't expect there to be. You can view that as a fraud, a joke, or the real thing.
Wow.
Anyway, if it was a real thing, you wouldn't hear anything. It's not like, I mean, remember, we're dealing here with a base that the government does not admit exists. So you're not exactly going to get a press release saying, we shot down a private plane invading secret airspace over Area 51. You're not going to get that.
Well, I got to say, I heard that, and it scared the heck out of me.
I understand.
Or something else.
I understand, and thank you very much. We're going to do more of that when I go to Egypt. They did a really bang-up job of putting together, and it's a very labor-intensive thing for the network to do, but they take segments from shows that were particularly intriguing and weave them together, and they'll be doing more of that when I go to Egypt. It worked out very well. People seem to really enjoy it. On my international line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. It's a pleasure to meet you, friend. How are you?
I'm just fine. Where are you?
I'm in Melbourne, Australia, mate, down the bottom of the world.
Bottom?
It's nice and sunny, at least.
Nice and sunny. It's, What time of year is it there?
We're just entering spring, bud, and we've had a very, very ordinary winter. We've had about 2 days of rain. And all the farmers are spewing, and we're going to be having water restrictions this summer because there just hasn't been any rain, mate.
Well, I was about to say, gee, it's nice that somebody's having ordinary weather because there's anything but ordinary here, believe me.
Really? Well, I've been kind of watching the Globe, and I've been listening to kind of your theme of the quickening and that, and I have to definitely say that the weather here is just bizarre. Farmers, you know, just aren't getting the rain, and all the crops are pretty dry at the moment. We're having a hard time getting a good harvest. I'm in the wheat area, and that's all we do. We make wheat, and we feed the people of Australia and China and Korea, and we're having a hard time doing that, bud.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think we're all in for some pretty hard times before they get better.
That's it. That's really it. And the reason I ring, it's something that I've never been able to find anyone on the level that I'm on. I've read a book once upon a time by Michael Desmarais, or Desmarquet. It was called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And it's a book that totally shocked my whole view of life, because I had an idea about life which was based on, we come from outer space, and I don't believe in God, and I spent my whole life believing in this principle, and once you believe in something and you devote your whole life to it and you actually preach it to people that their way is wrong, which I'm now at this life, and you find a book of this nature that claims that a man who's been to another planet and seen God in suspended animation and has been told by the superior race of people that he actually witnessed the dividing of the seven, the sea, I forgot that, so you can see out my knowledge of the Bible, but a man that actually witnessed the parting of the sea to let the Jews escape from the Israelites, so to speak, whatever they were called, so thus the planet Earth would have some type of spiritualism left on it, so that the barbarians of the time wouldn't totally devoid this planet of some format of spirituality.
All right, well, I appreciate your call, and here's what I would say about the possibility of other beings. I think there is one creator. I believe there is a creator, a force. But I believe that creator is not focused only on humanity. I believe that creator is probably responsible for life across distances that we can't even yet imagine. Millions, billions, even trillions of suns, with how many planets and how much likely life? It's my own personal view that all of this is a single creation, that there are not many creations, many peoples, many gods. There is but one creator. And I guess that's why I am not so challenged by the possibility of life from elsewhere. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
This is my first time calling. Glad I got a hold of you.
Glad you're here.
Listen, I get cut off. I'm in Michigan, and I didn't hear all your show yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what the guy actually said to you after he was cut off from us.
Well, he went on for about a minute, very much the way he was going on when you heard him, and at the end there was a scream and a disconnect. And since I don't record here, since normally the network records, we depend on the satellite being where it is, I don't have that on tape.
Wow.
Fortunately, I had the guy from Penthouse Magazine here to be witness. Otherwise, everybody would have thought it was a put-on.
Yeah. So what was he yelling about? I mean, see, I work in maintenance, and I didn't hear him when he first called him.
Oh, well, you'll hear a repeat of it tomorrow night.
Okay, great.
All right?
How did Richard Hoagland's little scenario go the other day?
Do you know, I have not talked to Richard. My guess would be he's pooped. Usually you are after you do something like that, and I'll talk to Richard sometime over the weekend, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right?
Well, great show.
Thank you. Take care. I have not yet heard how it went in California. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, Art, I'm so glad I got through. I really enjoy your show. This
Thank
is
you.
Diane from Pollock Pines.
Hi there.
Hi. Part of what I really like is your eclectic taste in music. It's great. I enjoy all of it. And I had a question. In fact, a couple questions. Are you going to be having more, now that it's getting closer to Halloween, have more shows on the spirit world and ghosts and witches and things like that? Because I really enjoy those.
Better believe it. I do it every Halloween like clockwork.
You mean just on Halloween or the night?
No, I build up to it.
Oh, great.
For example, the Dreamland shows begin to have more people on ghosts.
Okay.
We begin to concentrate more on that sort of thing. Oh, yes, it's coming.
Excellent. Well, I started listening about December last year when we had our big snowstorm here, and I was up listening to my radio at night. And so I didn't get to hear Halloween last year, but I'm really looking forward to it. And what is Ghost to Ghost? Is that the show you have on Halloween?
Yes. It's called Ghost to Ghost AM. And what we do is I never have a guest. We only take legitimately told ghost stories from the audience. And trust me when I tell you, it's one of the scariest things you will ever hear.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I would love to be able to record it. I'll probably have to buy a recording of it because I listen to KOH out of Reno, and a lot of times it goes in and out really bad. So
it is the one open line show that we sell. The only exception to that was
last night's
show. That's right. You got it.
Yeah, that was a spooky show, too. And then I had one comment, too, on James tonight. I tried so hard to get through, but it would have been like winning the lottery, I think, to get through on your line. I have a friend who is a channeler, and I was very skeptical. And I had a party where she came over.
Yes.
And some of the things that James was reading tonight reminded me of when I had her over, and we had a group of 9 people here. And she gave, like, 45-minute readings to all of us. We were here almost 10 hours. And about 7 out of the 9 people that she gave readings to, a lot of the things that she said would happen have happened. And what really scared me was one of my friends that was here that she told to be cautious of her health, in particular a stroke. This was on a Saturday evening, Saturday night. The next day she had one. So
now that would definitely freak me out.
Yeah, and I had always wanted to do another party like that one, but now I am afraid. And as much as I enjoy hearing, like I would have liked to have gotten through tonight and talked to James because I do believe in this stuff, as much as I would like to hear about myself, I'm afraid to put friends through the same thing.
I understand. Believe me, I understand.
Really scary.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, and I do understand. I am skeptical of channelers. I am even skeptical of mediums. James von Prague is a medium, not a psychic, but a medium. I am told he is the best at what he does. And I am told this by people that I trust and believe in. I have a hard time with it, as I do with channeling. And a lot of people out there say, I have not given channeling a fair shake. And my only problem is that, and I'll, you know, I'm trying, but there's too much room for fraud, just flat out fraud. And I'm not sure how one separates the wheat from the chaff. In the case of James von Prague, I did it by listening to many of you and by listening to a lot of people that I have respect for say, look, he's the real thing. You better give him a shot. And so I thought I would. Hi there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Let me get the radio.
Thank you.
First of all, have you ever heard of a scientific journal called The Skeptical Inquirer?
Sure. They write about me all the time.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I did notice your name in there.
I'm their favorite guy.
I think it's a wonderful magazine.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I talk to the people who manage it and run it, and they write a lot about me, so, you know, I know a lot about it.
I know they haven't been too complimentary, but they stop short of denouncing you because I think they allow room for the fact that you're very open-minded.
Well, the Skeptical Inquirer should be skeptical of all things, including absolute debunking.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
You know, if they want to live up to their name.
That's true.
That's all I would say. They're okay, though.
That's true. I think that they have written some excellent articles, some scientific articles on the Area 51 controversy,
yeah,
the UFO controversy.
Look, little do they know and little would they agree, but I am also skeptical. Because I present information on the air doesn't mean that I'm not personally skeptical about it. Because I allow it to be presented without ripping somebody to shreds, which is what they would have me do, doesn't mean that I'm not skeptical. I'm skeptical. It's just that my way is to allow things on the air, to allow my guests to properly present their topic, and to let you guys be the judge of it.
Yeah, and that's what I like about your program, because even though I know personally, I feel that your guest tonight was a fraud. The Mel's whole idea was a fraud. Some of the other things, the reverse speech from the NASA officials was a fraud. But I will say this, that if something real does come along, it will have an opportunity to be aired on your show.
That is exactly correct. And it's up to you to pick apart what you think is real and not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something the skeptical inquirer is going to have to get used to.
Well, I think
that's all.
I think that you provide them a lot of fodder.
I do.
Journalistic fodder.
I do.
And
I do. They should thank me.
They should. I think your listeners should check out the Skeptical Inquirer. I don't work for them. I just recently discovered it about a week ago, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, to me, it is just excellent reading if you're interested in the scientific explanation.
Oh, no, it is. It is, absolutely is. I agree.
And all right, enjoy the show. Thank you for taking the call.
You bet. Take care. I've had a lot of talks with them. And they come at me like a pit bull, and that's fine. And I sort of slow them down. I say, look, it's my way. I allow people to say what they want. Well, how can you do that? Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you go after them? Well, because that's not the way I do things. And so, yeah, I provide them with a lot of material. And that's good. And it's good that they would write that sort of thing. But again, if they're going to really live up to their name, Skeptical Inquirer, then they have to be skeptical about the debunking side of things as well. In other words, evenly look at things skeptically. That's what I would say to them. I am going to do something on Dreamland Sunday that I have been doggedly pursuing, sometimes without a lot of luck. I am convinced that communication with animals is possible. And I've had some guests that did not quite perform to expectation in this area. But I'm not giving up because I think it's an incredibly important subject. And I think that I've got the right guest this weekend. Her name is Gail DeSoci, or something close to that. DeSciose. I'm not sure. I'm probably slaughtering her last name. But Gail will be here Sunday. She's very articulate. And she's going to be here on the subject of animal communication. So I will, it's kind of like getting hurt, I guess, you know, when you're riding a horse, they say get right back up and ride again. And I'm doggedly going to pursue this subject until I get the guest that I'm pleased with. And that may well be this coming Sunday, this Sunday on Dreamland. It is an important subject to me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
I've got a quick suggestion for you regarding the Area 51 caller.
Sure.
What I had in mind was if you could somehow get that tape to David John Oates and have him do a reversal on it.
Depend on it.
Okay, that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Well, pretty much there's your answer. Depend on it. Of course we will do that. David, you are doing that, right? I'm sure he is. There's no way David could not do that. And for that matter, not just that caller, but a whole array of callers who called about Area 51. Very articulate, very provocative. And so, yes, of course, of course, of course, of course, of course, we'll get that reversed. And again, if you want a copy of last night's program, so many people contacted the network that I got a call from the network saying, yes, we'll make it available. Very unusual that we would do that, but we're going to make it available. You can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. You want to ask about the Area 51 program. 1-800-917-4278. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
since you have some time to think over what happened last night and conduct your investigation with your web server, Ken, what is the theory as now what caused your web server to crash website?
My website didn't crash.
I thought it crashed last night.
No, sir. The satellite crashed.
I thought both crashed.
Well, no. The website clicked over to 5 million during that occurrence. The website did not crash.
Was that a power surge that did that?
No. 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 Tell everybody good night.
Good night, America.
There you go. What happened was the satellite lost Earth track. I've never seen it happen before. Maybe it'll never happen again. It was one in a million. See you Sunday on Dreamland. Good night.